Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 217. And everyone is wrapped in their DC Comics previews showing the rebirth stuff. So, it probably won't be a lot of talking, just everybody looking at books.
Yeah.
Just imagine. Use your
imagination. Yeah, I'm not doing the dramatic reading, Adam. I know you want me to.
You do for the other guy.
Yeah.
It's not previews.
I forgot to check to see how many books.
Things he'll do
I'll check
for
on
that.
But
I did not watch it yet.
I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
Okay, busy night in Pittsburgh because we got the Penguins game, we got a Pirates game, and Trump's here. So we'll try to stay focused here on the podcast.
That shouldn't be that hard. Well, actually, it would be. We'll maintain the same level of focus that we normally do.
Okay, fair enough.
That's not much.
Well, so I'll have to keep kicking Adam to wake him up.
Okay. That'd be an easy goal for us.
A few more in this.
So, set the bar
if
low.
If I was more entertaining.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Like if you'd do a dramatic reading of
them. Killer Croc here, it looks like he's the son of Killer Croc and Swamp Thing.
Yes.
I actually thought that was Swamp Thing at first.
I did
first.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's first
a
look
little
like,
much.
That's a pretty.
He looks like version of scales thing. Or whatever
he's
an alligator
Christmas
has.
Tree.
But. So if you have a copy, read along. No.
Read along with us in your book.
If you don't, come on down and grab one.
I have plenty.
And every time it's time to turn the page, Colin will go, beep,
beep. Let's begin now.
Yep, it's going to be one of them podcasts.
It is going to be one of them podcasts, yeah. But let's start off with some news. Pat, what do you got?
Trailers aplenty this week. The Rogue One trailer debuted.
Looks awesome.
Yeah,
yes,
I kind of have a small problem with it.
It's not that they have a female lead, is it?
No, not at all.
Because okay, that's like a big thing going on.
No, not at all.
Wait, people are upset about this?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, on Star Wars?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
Daisy, or not Daisy, Ray.
Ray
was the lead of...
We had six movies in a row of a male Samaria. Lead. No. Why they all butthurt about... Two moves in a row, female.
Ah, we done it again.
Butthurt starts out early.
It was a proper usage of the term.
Yeah. as opposed to improper usage. No, my problem is...
You really
it's
dwell on this
to
term
take...
every time I say it.
Yeah, that's
a few
Colin's
times.
Feeling. He gets all butthurt about it.
He has to start writing...
He gets all butthurt about butthurt.
He has to start tracking where the timestamp is so he can start editing. Yeah, it gets
seriously, that sort of stuff...
Yeah, yeah.
Life.
That's
you're
ridiculous.
That upset about a female lead?
Ray.
Actually, I
for me,
like
Ray was one
though.
Of my favorite characters
yeah.
in that movie because I thought she had the most.
Daisy Ridley was awesome.
Yeah,
she was
fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah,
she
was no Captain Phasma though. So.
Well,
no, she was a great actor for the part, and like even interviews afterwards, she's like a very charismatic, like down to earth person. Just,
yeah.
She was great.
Yeah.
My only question after watching that trailer is all of outer space British?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking, because I think everybody in that trailer had a British accent.
That's where the British
somehow
even
Forrest Whitaker.
Well, not Forrest Whitaker, but I'm going to say it. Yeah, but the rest, yeah. That was just something I was just like, everybody's British.
The issue
I can understand, like, the Empire, the bad guys being British, if you want to play
yeah,
that.
Yeah, bad guys,
British.
All bad guys.
Well, no, but remember, Jaguar had that commercial.
Yeah,
no, no, Jaguar had that
Nicholas
commercial.
Nicholas Hoult and Mark Strong and Tom
and
Hiddleston
yeah.
were all,
and,
like...
And Ben Kingsley,
that's right,
yeah.
Ben, yeah.
So, was, no, I mean, they were playing on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just funny. It's like, because when you think of Grand Moff Tarkin and other... Well, I guess Obi-Wan was British, but besides that, none of the...
But in the
Resistance or Rebels,
well, yeah. But
were.
James Earl Jones certainly isn't British.
No, no.
Yeah, yeah in the main,
but like
movies,
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah,
in the main movies, none of the main people are British.
Yeah, well, except, yeah, in the main movies, yeah.
I mean Alec Guinness, but he
right.
He was kind of yeah.
But yeah, no. Just
his
it
part
just,
was cut
it,
short.
You know, McGregor is Scottish.
Yeah.
Well, but he was playing the same character, though.
Qui-Gon is
Irish. He was American when he was young, and then he gained a British accent.
That would have
Qui-Gon, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, my problem is, so it's supposed to take place
Darth Maul?
Prior to...
Count Dooku? No. Well, no, he was, wasn't he?
Christopher Lee,
yeah.
So.
He was like a real world badass, too. He was like a super spy in World War II.
But who cares about him? He's dead, so...
Man, start that up. Whoa. Now, so, you have, like,
I didn't say that.
All
you
these
said
weird
it.
Versions of stormtroopers that did not exist in the original trilogy, but supposedly existed prior to the events of the original trilogy. So, the problem I have with this is, how come we've never seen... Like, I would have just stuck with, for this, regular
stormtroopers. Well, because in the original trilogy, we clearly just saw, like, the recruit stormtroopers, the dopes. For the covert operation things, now we're seeing like the legit stormtroopers.
Oh,
these are the ones.
Okay.
These are ones that are guarding the real stuff. Not the ones that are getting fooled in the rundown corridors and leaving their stuff behind, or getting
banging their head off.
Or getting beat up by the Ewoks.
These are the elite.
Oh, okay. As opposed to the regular stormtroopers.
Yeah, not the dopes.
Yeah. I got
those guys.
Okay.
Put their heads on this stuff.
All right. Well,
they didn't have money to go beyond the dopes in the original trilogy, but now
they're
so incompetent they couldn't even take care of the Ewoks. You know?
Yeah.
Where are the elite guys now, though?
Now?
Why didn't they send them to deal with the Ewoks? If it was such a horrible thing, they were going to be like, we have Ewoks
they
here.
They probably did.
Out.
They said, these Ewoks are so easy to take care of. We'll send the idiots there.
Send the idiots. That was their fall.
And
they didn't know that they couldn't handle the Ewoks.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Ewoks are still around in current continuity. Maybe they blasted it.
Endor was the one that got
as a trial
away.
Run.
Yeah. Senator Yubnub.
I don't know if you
that would be fantastic if they had an Ewok come in as a senator to be like the new Jar Jar Binks.
Nobody knows what he's saying, but they all agree with him. The galaxy's changing because of.
That would be great.
Yubnub.
There was a new Ninja Turtles trailer.
Didn't see that.
It showed a little bit. It showed Casey Jones. Showed more of Rocksteady.
A little more Yub, not as much Nub.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is. It had the gratuitous sexy shot of Megan Fox.
That.
Yeah. It showed more of Rocksteady and Bebop in both their human form, and then after they changed.
Yeah.
But it's. It, pretty much exactly what you would expect. And the thing is, like, I never saw the first one. I had no desire to see the first one. I want to see this because it looks like they said, give people what they want. They want the 80s cartoon.
Yeah.
I saw the first one. It was dumb, but it was fun.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said about it when I saw it. It was not great.
The movie was not taking itself seriously in any way.
My biggest complaint with that movie is Megan Fox. I wish you'd just quit. I don't know.
She's
work.
There for eye candy. And
whoever
that,
cast her as April O'Neil was not thinking with their brain.
They could have done a lot better.
Well, it was Michael Bay.
It was Michael Bay.
Yeah. Oh, and that's an accurate statement, what I just said.
Yeah, that was it.
Suicide Squad got a new trailer.
I like the trailer.
I did, too. I
saw a complaint about, just... My rant coming up is about the hate on DC. I saw somebody said, so this
actually
is based...
I had a perfect
story. Oh, go.
For that.
Okay.
Well, no, but if you want to rant now, but
no.
I got something to set up right for that rant.
Well, no, it's just on this one, I saw somebody complaining that it's going to be a Wayne's World remake because they're using the same...
they use ballroom
They use the same music.
Use,
yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's the problem.
Yeah. But so it's going to be a Wayne's World remake.
Actually,
this is actually the prequel to Wayne's World.
Okay. I think the better argument to make is that if you want to be, a Marvel fanboy and rip on DC for this whole thing, is to say, well, all they did was they took the right elements from Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's what they're doing. And that's a valid
argument. I guess. We're sort of assuming a lot, seeing as how we've only seen 4 minutes.
Well, no, but I mean,
how you're
trying to integrate the song so much into the trailer so that people kind of think that way. Okay, fine. Look, they're 70s pop songs.
But
that's...
Guardians of the Galaxy was not the first movie trailer to do this either.
No.
It's not exactly a...
Movies have done this before.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree.
Simpsons did it.
Yeah, exactly. It looks really good. I really want to see this movie.
The only thing that I noticed in this trailer is that Margot Robbie's voice, whatever accent she's using... seems to like keep coming and going or changing erratically.
Yeah, well, they're definitely talks. Not giving her the Brooklyn accent. Yeah. And
I always feel like she sounded more like Harley Quinn whenever she was in Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay.
Than she does in these trailers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fine either way. It was just funny.
Yeah.
To me.
I don't know. I guess we'll see kind of the final product in August to see, you know, how her voice actually goes. Because you're right, there are parts where...
Her voice not being Harley Quinn's traditional voice is not going to make or break the movie for me anymore.
No, not at all.
I think we should all just be excited that we're getting Batman in two movies this year.
That's stupid. I hope it's not Ben Affleck.
Oh, definitely.
He's the worst.
Is that true?
I always hope that Batman is a minor part in this movie.
I think it's going to be more of a flashback.
Yeah, but I hope it's
just
a very minor
it looks
minor
like
thing.
A heavy Joker movie.
I want these other characters to shine. I don't want all these new DC movies to just be vehicles for Batman to be on the screen.
Yeah.
Now, I expected El Diablo to be killed off in 5 minutes. That doesn't look like that's the case. Slipknot, he may be gone within 5 minutes. That's okay.
One thing it sounds like, reading in the DC previews, Jim Lee sounds like he has plans for Katana.
Okay.
So she will probably survive.
That's okay. I kind of like the way she looks on screen.
She's also the stronger female character in that movie, so I figured they would keep her around.
Yeah. I mean, someone's obviously going to get killed. You have to, you know, you don't implant bombs in her head
without not showing
one.
Them, yeah.
And my guess is that's going to be Slipknot, because there's the one scene where he tries to escape.
Uh-huh.
Or what seems like he's trying to escape, and my guess is that gives Rick Flag the reason to pull the trigger on that. Either that or there's another character that they're not showing us. Like, you've seen Assault on Arkham.
Yeah.
Where they bring in KG Beast, and within 5 minutes, he's dead.
Yeah.
They may do something like that with someone we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
And then the final one that
came... Kite Man. It'll be Kite Man.
The final one that came out this week was Doctor Strange. Yeah. Very Inception-y.
Yeah.
In a lot of places. Very trippy. Yeah. It's interesting. I actually thought that... I think it was Kevin Feige... had said that this wasn't going to be an origin story, which I thought was a bad idea, but what I saw absolutely looks like an origin story.
Looked like,
I feel like this character has to be an origin because a lot of people don't know his history.
Well, and that's not so much the reason why I think it needs to be. I was talking to my wife about this the other day. We've been playing in this Marvel Universe now for 7 years. We've never seen magic up to this point. So if you bring magic in, you can't just pretend it's always been there and we didn't know about it. You have to explain it and explain how it interplays with other things.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that they kind of show at least a little bit of an origin, if not the whole origin.
It seemed like they did when they showed like he was in the hospital and then he wasn't believing
and
in
they,
magic
they show
at all,
the
and
hands.
His hands should have been
I could be wrong. I think they're going to work in, like, the quantum realm stuff from Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Into this, too, and how there's other dimensions and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think they need to do that to kind of tie some stuff in.
Sure. Sure.
And you know, they had already... It was in Cap 2, they had mentioned Stephen Strange before.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I was kind of afraid that they'd just... Here's Stephen Strange. Go.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been tough.
I didn't like the one thing I didn't like his beard. It looked very much a glued on beard. So that minor, but it looked very Arrow-ish.
Classic South Park fans here.
Yeah.
You know the episode I'm thinking of with the beards?
Yes.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah.
It was the Spooky Fish.
Spooky Fish.
And then it was the Cartman from the other dimension.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the chili and the bag of... I'm trying to say something that Colin's going to want to edit
That's
out.
That's actually my favorite episode. Scott Tenorman Must Die.
Yeah.
That one.
Which, do you watch Gotham?
Yeah, which happened in Gotham.
Yeah, they did it in Gotham this week.
That's
the
one
penguin.
We were watching. Remember when she...
Wait, the beard part or the chili part?
The chili part.
Oh, because
but
the beard,
it wasn't a chili.
If you said it did the beard part in Gotham, I would have instantly taken back everything I said about Gotham.
Yeah.
And went home and watched all six episodes that I have on the DVR.
No, they did the chili part.
Yeah.
And immediately, that's what came to mind is, you know...
How's your chili, Scott? I caught Mr. and Mrs. Tenorman chili.
Yeah.
Oh, the tears of unfathomable sadness.
He actually tastes them.
Yummy.
Yeah. I told you, she's more tender than he is.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Get one thing.
So.
Lucifer. I just said his beard looked a little glued on, but okay.
No.
Not sure how you got to cannibalism,
Scott,
but okay.
Scott,
no.
You got to
okay,
see Scott
fine,
Tenorman
I'll just say it. Yeah. There's a major point of this episode is they're using pubes to give themselves beards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their beards look very much like Doctor Strange's beard in this teaser.
Okay, there you go. Fair enough. Yeah, okay, so I wasn't out of line.
But I didn't think you'd want me to
right.
say that on the podcast.
But you made it
I wasn't. Well, I just didn't understand where you're going and then about eating chili.
About
I'm like, what?
I really wanted to hear about it.
And then, of course, there's the pony. And
yeah.
Just bring up other episodes, too. Yeah.
And there's the chicken.
No pony will like that. All right, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Lucifer got picked up for a second season.
I haven't watched a single episode of that.
I really like that show.
There's a lot of good...
It's a standard...
It is. That's the only thing I don't like.
That's what killed
But there was some interesting stuff in this episode. I need to rewatch. I listened to about half of it where he thought he was turning mortal, but it turns out, and also he can't seduce her, but also her presence makes him mortal. So
right.
they figure, and then something about her too when he's with her.
Yeah, because,
I forget what that
was.
Well,
no, it wasn't. It's not that he couldn't seduce her. Well, yeah, I mean, he can't seduce her, but she threw herself at him, and he turned her down.
Right, but there was some revelation at the end, but sadly, by the time I got paying attention, it was over. And
yeah, I really
like
this
sadly,
show.
Most of my TV watching was like that here.
Like, I like iZombie a lot, and that's a police procedural, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
And just when they announced this, I don't know, it just seemed like, too many of this type of show.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's a convenient trope to have.
Yeah.
So every episode can be a little bit different with that part and then have the main story still continue. They both do that.
Yeah. I just like the idea of Satan on Earth and like the interplay with that and not to ruin the show, but one of the things that, you know, he's not a bad guy. Like he's Satan, but he's not a bad guy, and you see some of that, and there's also some of, you know, they play around with the whole mythology of it, and, well, you know, his place is to guard hell because God trusts him the most. You know, that was his favorite son.
Yeah.
That's why he was kind of given that task, and, you know, it was God's will that he would give up, you know, and betray him and all. So it's really good. You know, going to Catholic school, I just remember those stories and all that.
I do like when he gets really pissed off at the guy, at somebody, and then shows his like true face type thing.
Well, did you? Well, yeah, you partially saw this week where he did it to the one guy and it had no effect.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
It was
the cop that had been shot and had already died and gone to hell.
Okay,
and that's why he's like, yeah, that's it doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
Inhumans, it sounds like...
He's getting pushed back.
Yeah.
Back. Well, I think part of the problem with that is that so much of the TV universe, and after the divorce between
TV
movie
and
TV, I don't think you're going to see any more movie characters coming up on the TV shows and vice versa. I was talking with somebody, and they were disappointed that, like, the guy who plays the Flash isn't going to play it in the movies. I said, well, I think that's actually a good thing, so you can still have a Flash in the movies and a Flash on TV. I said, because with this divorce, you're never going to see the movie characters on any of the TV shows.
But I'd have less of a... So in humans, I don't so much care about because...
Right.
Who cares?
Right.
But I'd like to see Daredevil show up.
Yeah.
Iron Fist and Luke Cage would be fun characters. Yeah. Not necessarily serious characters, but, you know, the comic relief type characters. You know, especially in like a Spider-Man movie, I could see them showing up at some point. So I'm disappointed on that front, but you know, I don't want like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to get completely derailed because there's a movie coming out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, oh, there's a DVD, so we got to have Sif show up to plug the DVD. That's kind of silly. You know, as far as Inhumans go on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I could really care less.
Right.
I mean, I still watch the show, but
shoot,
not
that was
really.
Something I was gonna look up. Okay. So, I wanted to look up on the sales chart to see where the Inhumans books were, since they're pushing it so hard.
At the bottom.
I'm going to say somewhere in the middle here. Yeah.
Okay. There's a rumor, and at this point, nothing's been announced officially, but Warner Brothers is going to re-release Batman vs. Superman in the R-rated cut in the theaters
I kind of like that, only in the sense that I want to see it a second time. I think I owe it to the movie to see it a second time. Watching it, knowing stuff going in, and that might be a good way to do it, is to see the different versions.
Why do you feel like you owe it? Because you liked it. You're not one that...
No, but I did that. Most of them I see twice. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy once with here, and then once on vacation with the whole family, and I was looking at different things. I was looking for Nathan Fillion, not realizing he was just a voice, but I thought maybe he was that guard that was in that cage that they broke into.
Yeah.
And so I was watching, I wasn't watching the main action as much, I was
Easter
watching
eggs.
Around. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't mind doing that to watch and see what I missed.
I picked up a lot of stuff watching Batman vs. Superman.
Knowing there's the Flash scene coming up, I'll pay a little more attention as opposed to when
on,
it happened. It was like, whoa, what's going on? Oh, it's over.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I know what to kind of pay attention to. So that's all.
Yeah.
But I feel like I want to do it with this, but that's going to be a good way to do it.
Okay. The one thing we'll talk about in this previews, I think. So the last thing, which is going to set Colin up here on his little rant, is that there was a Batman movie announced with Ben Affleck to write, direct, and star.
Which I am all for this.
So am I.
Ben Affleck has proved himself several times as being a capable writer, capable director, and can carry a movie as a star as well. I mean, he's had a few that failed, but if you're looking at his whole career, he's had more, large successes than misses.
Well, especially in direction. And one of the things...
If he has full control over this, I think it's going to be great.
Well, one of the things I think can play very well with this is if he's behind the camera, it may be less of a focus on Batman and more of a focus on the villain, which, one of the major complaints about Marvel movies is... The villains are bad. The villains don't have motivations. They're all
Except
crazy.
For Loki.
Yeah, right. But even Loki, I mean, yeah, he had a true motivation in the first one, kinda.
No, he did.
He did. But at the same point,
he didn't know the full extent of things. But they developed his.
But over the course of the three movies he's been in, he's certainly had a character arc that makes sense. Okay, I understand this character now. You can focus maybe on the villain a little bit more, give them a backstory. Because here's the other thing. We already, at this point, we've seen Batman's origin in this universe.
Yeah.
We've seen him in action by the time this goes out at least two times. Probably a third time if Justice League comes out first. So, and assuming he doesn't have a cameo or something like that in Wonder Woman, we'll have seen him at least twice, possibly three times.
I wonder if this movie will focus during that 20-year period that he mentioned that he had been operating, or if it'll take place after.
That's kind of what I'm hoping is they just take a storyline.
Well,
take something that you'll like
to under the red hood.
By saying that, the 20-year period, it gives him plenty of room to do just Batman stuff with all his other heroes around.
But you don't need to make up a story. I'm just saying there's so many storylines that they could, even if they take a piece from here to a piece from there, put together something under the red hood.
They could mash together Death in a Family and then Under the Red Hood.
Yeah.
I think the problem with
Long Halloween would be a good...
But you can't do the Long Halloween right in one movie.
True.
I mean, for fans, yeah, we could get there and we could get into it and understand everything.
Take on half.
He's not saying it. Well, but he's not saying
it. If I take my wife, okay, half the villains, she's not going to know, and certainly isn't going to know their motivation and all that. So that would be tough to do. Same thing, Hush. Hush would be great to see on screen, but there's so much going on, it'd be very hard to do in a single movie.
But adapt it. Like, adapt it for...
I don't know. I feel like with Long Halloween, the villains you have in there, you don't need to do a whole lot of establishing for their motives. Hush is different.
And
but...
you know what? Long Halloween was done a lot, and they took a lot of that to make Dark Knight. So, I mean, we have kind of seen that story, because that Two-Face origin story and stuff that was brought into that, and that's such a that you're who said it? That was that is it's a really big story. I don't know either how much.
But I'm just saying you can take things, you can instead take of making pieces. Something up.
Yeah. Oh no, I agree. Adapt
take
what,
some
what's
pieces
already there.
And adapt a story from stories that we've already had.
So. But hopefully, Johns will have some input on that too.
Oh, I gotta believe he will.
Yeah, he's got to.
Or hell, bring in Snyder.
I mean, Affleck has said he was working with Johns on something.
Okay.
So.
There you go. So yeah, it's just but.
And everyone liked him as Batman in the
That's
movie.
What I don't get. That's where my rant comes from. There was a post from somebody online, somebody that I know, and it was...
like within
it say?
3 hours of the movie
yeah,
being announced?
Yeah, of officially being announced, and it was basically... Oh, shoot, what did they say? I want to quote it correctly.
Plus I don't like how he's like an Academy Award-winning director. But like, why are we so upset about
that? That yes, exactly.
Right, he's won an Academy Award
yeah,
for
what
writing.
What could go right was the comment. And I'm like, what could go right? What? Why are you already, you know, it's just been announced and you're already bashing it. And that's just what I didn't understand.
These people will not be happy unless DC just says, we give up.
Yeah.
Marvel won. We'll send them a cake. We
yeah.
give up.
And, you know, like,
take
and
our characters.
Bashing,
make good movies.
Bashing Suicide Squad because of the music choices in the trailers. It's like, why is there this hatred where... Why can't you just like a movie?
Why can't you just have fun?
Why can't you wait till the movie comes out? And why can't you like the movie? I don't understand this intense hatred of everything DC. And I'm reading, you know, people's going, oh, there's nothing in this, you know, rebirth for me. I'm like, how do you know? Did you read the descriptions? You honestly want to tell me nothing in there is
some
of any interest?
Just want to watch a world burn, man.
I guess. I guess, but I just don't get it.
You got to say it with way more of a Cockney accent, though.
I'm not here to embarrass myself.
Okay.
Today.
But, you know, and then I'm looking at, you know, already five of the new Marvel books are canceled, although they're just ending at issue five. And that makes me mad, because at least when DC announces something is going to be, you know, a maxi, like Omega Men or something, they gave all those books their shot. They all got their 12 issues except for Doomed, which I don't think that surprised anybody.
Mm-mm.
But I'm looking at these Marvel ones where they had, you know, five or six different covers. And you had to stretch to be able to get the hip-hop covers and things like that. And then they end at five. That's just really screwing over the retailers, because you will never sell those number ones. Even if you throw them in a quarter box, because there aren't the other issues. There's no sustained, oh, you know what, I wanted to try that. Do you have any number ones left? Nobody's asking for Black Knight or Red Wolf or...
Well, no one was asking for them.
Right, or Star Brand and Nightmask. But yeah. I'm just thinking about those stores that did reach and trusted that this book was going to go more than five issues.
And that's the thing. Like, so essentially all they did, I'm sure they knew on issue two it wasn't going to go.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, let's stretch this out, get a trade out of it, and then...
Yeah, and which, I mean, I guess in a sense I can appreciate that, at least finishing that story.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. They play the game. That's one thing where I do, and it's when you ask why I don't like Marvel, it's because they play those tricks. Whereas DC, the first 3 months of all these new books are going to be returnable, and not just June, July, August. If the book comes out in August, it'll be returnable
August
for anything. Right. So in some of the, not all these are going to be double shipping. So then it'll be just the first three issues.
Yeah.
With anything that's double shipping, it's the first six issues. That gives me a cushion to order saying, okay, I don't know about this one. I have 20 pre-orders. I'll order 50, maybe get some traction or something. And if it doesn't, well, gosh.
Yeah, you're okay.
I'm okay. I can send those back. And with the double shipping, I do appreciate them noticing that. Because if it was only the first three issues, well, geez,
I'm still putting in numbers for number three before I've seen number one. You know, it's much trickier.
Yeah.
Whereas when Marvel does double shipping like that, especially with the first two issues, I take that as a signal that it's not very good and they're doing this to guarantee their numbers for one and two.
Yeah.
So, I greatly appreciate DC doing this because it is risk-free on the retailers. And from what I can tell, there's really no crazy variants or anything like that. There are variants on these, but they look like they're open to order, normal DC variants like we've had.
I just don't get why you can't like both.
No, that's what I don't understand.
I like Spider-Man. I'm very excited to see Spider-Man and Captain America on the big screen together. At mm-hmm. the same time, I enjoyed Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
It had problems, but I enjoyed the movie. If they put out an R-rated version, I'll see it again in the theater. If not, I'll wait for the DVD and I'll go see it.
Well, then you have the other people that just hate them both for no good reason, just to hate them.
Image.
And I mean, I was on, I guess, Bleeding Cool, I think it was, and I was looking at some article, and in one of the first comments, someone posted that their goal or their dream, their ultimate dream is to, in their lifetime, see both Marvel and DC, collapse and fail and go out of business. And my first thought is, okay, so you don't want to go to your local comic shop anymore. That's what would happen, because 90-some% of those stores would close without that giant draw of Marvel and DC.
Right, but
could you stay in business if you didn't have Marvel and DC around?
Well, here's
what they don't understand. Unlike Image and Boom and all these other little publishers, one is owned by Warner Brothers, one is owned by Disney. They're not going anywhere.
Well, they may realistically know they're not going anywhere, but why would you want to see them both? You don't have to read them. No one's forcing you to read these books.
Well, not only that, who am I to tell you that your nerdy stuff is better or is worse than my nerdy stuff? Everybody has what they like.
Well, I mean,
the simple thing for me is
a really good selling non-Marvel and DC book is double digits, if it can hit 10 copies. And there's not many that hit 10 copies, where that's a poor selling Marvel or DC book is only hitting 10. People, and there's so many Image books that come out that don't sell a single copy, but people don't realize that. And I can't go, I'll order 50 copies of every Image book. It's a very, if I order three and sell two, well, technically that's a win, but in reality, I've made $3.
Yeah.
So, big whoop, that's not paying any bills. So I carry those books, and I'm happy to carry them, but I mean, most of them, other than Walking Dead, some like Lazarus is doing well, Deadly Class, that's still like 12, so not huge numbers.
How's
happy
Lazarus?
To get them.
How was Lazarus?
Lazarus is probably about the same, 12, 15 copies.
So that's still a big gap between Walking Dead.
Walking Dead is 85.
Yeah.
And, well, even Saga has dropped. That six-month gap when she was doing Archie, mm-hmm. really, I'm down to, I think, like 30 copies of Saga. Still sells very well in trade. But they've broken people with a monthly cycle. When you're putting out an issue every 6 months, there's no reason to have to do it. Or not everyone, but when you have a gap like that. But those are few and far between. You had, We Stand on Guard sold a lot of number ones, and we were down under 10 for number two in the rest of the way. That dropped very quickly.
That book also wasn't that good.
Right,
well,
but
no,
it was Brian K. Vaughan.
The number one was good. The number two started the downward.
It was,
I'm surprised
each book,
the
quality was,
was
poor and poor.
But when people say, it's Brian K. Vaughan, you should know that's going to sell a ton. Not necessarily.
It'll sell a ton of number ones, but after that.
Right, but I'm still ordering number twos based on the sales of number ones.
Right.
And all of a sudden when there's a huge drop, it's like, So it's just... and those are a lot more chancy. They're like with the Boom stuff. I, being a Boom innovator, I have to order 10 of the first four issues of every series, which is a little annoying that they keep doing these four issue minis, meaning I have to order 10 of each one. But very rarely do I have to reorder. Do I have to get more in? Those 10 normally cover all the people that want it. But then you have something like Badger, from First, which is doing great. And I think that's doing 12. So that's, great.
Dave's sitting here. Don't mention Badger.
Dave got bought Badger number three.
Dave hates Badger.
He doesn't hate Badger.
He's hate buying.
No. Spite buys it now?
He spite buys it, yeah.
So it's just, I understand your thinking, but, you wouldn't see the stores because Image, I think
I think these people think that without Marvel and DC that somehow Image and these other publishers are going to sell those numbers.
But
the thing yeah. is, someone who has never read comics a day in their life knows who Batman is, knows right. who Wonder Woman, Superman, Spider-Man. They're not going to come in and be like, oh, I've always wanted to check out that East to West book.
Right. No, but I get a lot of people that buy Batman that also pick up East to West.
Because they're already in here.
Right.
The Marvel DC get them to yeah. walk through the door, and then as their tastes change and maybe they get out of the superhero genre, then they're here ready to try the more indie stuff. But that's still the gateway, and that's what keeps you in business, keeps the lights on. And
yep.
even if you don't like what they're putting out, you should at least respect and recognize what they do for the industry as a whole and the impact they have.
And you want to see where Walking Dead sales go after the show goes off the air? They'll drop by about 2/3.
Before the show at about 2/3?
Yeah. I mean, it was strong, but it was strong 25 copies.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like AMC will always have some form of
maybe,
Dead
but I'm just saying, but
wore that out.
Right, yeah. right. But I'm just saying, it's a large part of it.
Walking Dead comic
is like as soon as the show ends, all of a sudden I get the mad rush of people in so they can read ahead. But I think once you lose that, those people aren't going to be doing the mad rush. They're going to it's over. Okay, it's the excitement so isn't going to be there. So. I mean, like you were talking, what was it? Wrath of Eternal Warrior. You were surprised I didn't get the 1 in 20 variant. Well, that's because I only got in 12 copies.
No, I was surprised there wasn't a 1 in 10 variant.
Yeah,
that's what I was surprised.
That's them.
Really?
But I did think your numbers for that book were like over 20. I thought you were like 25.
No, but I'm happy with 12. I mean, 12 is good. Yeah. I have no complaints there. But it is certainly an add-on, and that's one of the things that hurts.
I got a problem. More people need to be reading that book. It's a good damn book.
Yeah, and I mean, I would love to see. Valiant and Image and some of these other publishers sell, more books. I don't like seeing that Marvel and DC dominate the market.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
But I think unlike on my last order, I think my entire Image order was like $2,000 retail.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? That doesn't pay the rent.
I think having as much as they have hurts quality too, because they try to put so much out where you get a lot of good quality mm-hmm. with a less amount of books that they put out. So.
Yeah, but I think sometimes it tends to drown the market
a little bit.
And just a lack of focus. I read one book for today, a new one. I think it's called Arathune. And it was like a fantasy book, but it was just, I'm reading it and it just wasn't, things weren't clicking. You weren't sure who was who. And I'm like, and it's just kind of a random generic fantasy book. There was one of the announcements at Image Expo, and on the Acme cast, I was listening to it, and they were talking about, they were reading the descriptions of everyone, and I'm just like, nope, non-seller. Just these fantasy things, if Hickman couldn't do it with Umbral, and his name attached to it, and that died quickly, I just don't see it. There has to be some neat catch, like Birthright had a neat twist to it.
Yeah.
A lot of these just looks like, it's, I forget the one, I have no idea what it was titled, but the story was, someone turned like the queen into a tiger, and then the guard killed the assassin who did that, and then they realized because the assassin was dead, they didn't know how to undo it, so they had to go to the mystical land of Nod and find someone who could undo the queen from being, and I'm just like, blah, blah, it could be great, but it's sounding,
sometimes it seems sort of very generic,
yeah, it's sounding fantasy, epic. Going to find the magic wizard.
Where you're used to.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's not going to be a 50-copy-a-month book. Unless, it has some catch or great art or something to really catch you. Because I think back to that Mirror book where I read the first one. I'm like, I have no idea what's happening in this.
Yeah.
And, my sales showed that. I sold 4 ones and 1 number 2. And it's, okay, where are we going here? I've lost money on number 2 now. So I'm cutting my order down to 2. So that money I make off selling that one copy, is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's, oh, I had a Coke. Oh, I lost that money,
Yeah.
So not that I won't carry those, but it doesn't make me as much money as Spider-Man or X-Men or, any of those. So, and not that they all have to be like those, but, even Thor that's selling 40 copies, it's good. So, but we need all of it in aggregate to, make my sales. So, that's my rant. But just, don't
hate hating.
People. Just don't hate. I don't hate before when a movie's announced. That's ridiculous. What, is there hate on the Inhuman movie because nobody likes Inhumans?
Yeah.
No.
It's just one of those, why are you doing it in human movie? But
focus on the good stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, just I saw that one.
Signed exclusive for 2 years.
Yes. With DC. 2 year exclusive. I did not know that until you pointed it out to me.
He was doing a Q&A on Twitter while he was waiting in an airport. And someone asked something about other books or if he'd be doing a Marvel book or anything. And he was like, I just signed 2 years with DC exclusive.
I know. It's not showing up there yet.
And he said just Bat books, not doing anything else.
But, yeah, he's exclusive for Batman.
He did say books plural. So he's only doing the last arc on All-Star. So I wonder what else he might be doing. He mentioned he might, or he has a good Mr. Freeze story that he'd like to tell. Okay. So
I said we haven't had a Mr. Freeze story since the first annual.
Yeah, since Snyder did that one.
Yeah.
But you see who scored.
I wasn't really fond of what Snyder did with less than a minute Freeze. Left. I thought they made him too crazy. Because they made him kind of into a serial killer.
Kind of.
The Pence Predictor. Nice.
I wasn't too fond of that, but it wasn't bad. It
I get a free appetizer.
I really like the animated series, Mr. Freeze. So.
Who scored, Colin?
Hornquist.
It's not showing up on here either.
I'm in the know.
That's why we come to you.
Yeah.
Popped up in minor.
Oh, appreciate
now
you.
Now it's my fault.
No, we're kind of, since we can't watch the Pens game, we're all
kind of. Scored.
We're watching on our phones. I saw that this morning and I Dave's not in it, but you could be. We have a little text.
Yeah, it was
circle.
Like at 7:30 this morning.
No, I think I waited till 8 because the day before it was 7:30, and Adam said it was way too early.
I actually texted him even earlier than that text.
Okay,
today.
Yeah, he did.
Because he.
But that was
that's
one
why
text.
I posted after the post. I said, "Sorry, Adam, is this too early?"
You sent me that message last night about Archer and Armstrong, and I didn't get it till this morning.
Yeah, which I didn't.
It popped up, and it had the timestamp for 9:30 last night. I was like, I never got it.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's no big deal.
Oh, just a little side note while we were talking, I checked. Uncanny Inhumans is at 59 on the March chart at 32,256 copies, and All New Inhumans was at 76 with 26,075 copies. So I'm going to say people are not overly infatuated with Inhumans, no matter how much Marvel wants people to.
I have to wonder how you bring that to a movie to begin with, because when I think of the Inhumans, the two characters I know don't talk.
Right.
Black Bolt and Lockjaw.
Well, yeah, Medusa.
Right, but I mean, like...
Gorgon. And then Karnak, who was just revealed in issue 2 that he's not an Inhuman.
What is he?
Or he's an Inhuman who hasn't been changed by the Terrigen Mists or something.
So then how's he
Inhuman? I don't know. I can't answer that.
Magnus or whatever it was.
Well, yeah, Maximus.
Maximus.
But no, I mean, they're very interesting characters. If they did that J. Lee Paul Jenkins book, I think that would be fantastic. But yeah, I don't know. I just think their force feeding of that isn't working.
I know that there's more Inhumans than what I know, but
well, that's the royal family.
Yeah, but when I think of we're doing an Inhumans movie,
and then there's Daisy.
That's what you're doing is the royal family.
I forget about Daisy.
And Lash.
Breakout star of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We could just start spouting off random names.
Words. You say words. There's
Jimbo.
Fishy.
And
Repo.
Hook Nose. And Door.
Roadblock.
Door. Roadblock.
Hong Kong
Fooey. No.
Booey.
No!
So what
there
mean?
Was a very long. There was a very long discussion about Hong Kong Fooey before the podcast started.
He's the number
and
one
we found out there
guy.
Were only 16 episodes ever made of Hong Kong.
Yeah, I must have watched those episodes over and over again.
Yeah,
it felt like it was on for a while.
McGill Gorilla.
I mean, I saw it in syndication because I wasn't alive in 74.
Never sold McGill Gorilla.
No,
And
no, who's Morocco Mole?
Morocco Mole.
Secret Squirrel.
Secret
Squirrel.
Yes.
I always had fun when I bowled. There was a team and there was a father and son and their last name was Morocco, but like Muraco. But every time we were playing against them and you're seeing that the whole time. Yeah. I'd always think Secret Squirrel. Yeah.
Adamant was awesome too.
Yeah. Underdog. Yeah. Now those were good cartoons, not the crap you want me to watch.
We're gonna watch those.
And Transformers and
how can you say Transformers?
Transformers G1 was awesome.
Man.
That's my childhood you're ripping on.
See, that's beyond my childhood.
Yeah, but that
everything's beyond it.
He went there. I wasn't gonna go there. I was like, oh.
Look, he was on his high school's Dodge Rock team. You leave him alone.
You just watched the fire. That is, if you can make it yet.
His uncle invented the wheel. Did you?
That's
know that?
What you get for guessing Transformers.
No, but anytime Adam goes to put something on the TV, it's always Clone Wars or something. Yeah, I'm like, Adam, find
Adventure
something
Time.
Besides. Yeah, it's find something
besides
cartoon.
I had Adventure
cartoon.
Time all day. Kids were watching it. They were walking around. People were shopping.
How are they walking around shopping and
not
watching
the kids.
It?
Yeah.
What were they doing, Adam? What was your story
thank
here?
Their parents were walking around the store shopping while their kids weren't bugging them. They were watching TV.
That doesn't help them. The kids should be with the parents saying, oh, I want that. I want that.
Yeah,
I want that.
Exactly.
I want that.
They never buy anything. It's always the parents.
Kids don't have any money.
Nope.
No, I know.
They do.
Yeah.
I think Adele has more cash on her than Debbie and I have because she hoards her allowance. Anytime we have to, like, you know, anytime we see, like, her allowance spot, like, where she keeps it all at, we're blown away. I think she's up to, like, $150.
Is there ever
now.
A chance, like, when you're at the store that you just buy the stuff for her?
We forget. And we do, and
the
naturals are kicking That's ourselves.
That's why she's saving
but,
her
But
money.
Then, when we remember, we say, if you want that, you can use your allowance money. I'll pay for it. You just pay me back when you come. And suddenly, she's very frugal. She's like, oh, no, never mind.
If you want to buy it for
A me. Second ago, you had to have it, but now, no, it's,
what's,
it's fine.
What's her allowance, Josh?
She gets $5 every Friday.
$5 a week.
Yeah.
What does she have to do for this $5?
More than you.
She's probably better at it too.
I threw that out there just so he didn't feel like I was ganging up on him.
He's ganging up on everybody now. Oh, be careful, yeah. Dave.
We said from the start
you'll get daved if you
Josh was in rare form. So
it'll be more Hong Kong fooey talk.
Oh, yeah. Up again.
No, clean a room, feed the cat, things like that.
Well, the cat's still alive, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Clean good the cat, feed the room. Yeah.
The cat's not like, I gotta eat someday.
Okay, you wanted me to start, or
yeah.
Were you just kidding?
I was just kidding, because once Hong Kong Fooey got brought up, we were going to go down a bad road, so I figured...
Do we have any questions?
No.
Okay.
No. Sorry, I'm like, I don't have any questions.
There's no problem.
Okay.
I believe you have some sales going on still, even though one is not on the website.
Yeah, I know. I've been busy. But there's the Boom and Black Mask double point sale.
Sale of the Killer Bees.
You picked it.
Must the Killer Bees.
And then we're still doing our the weekly sale. We only have 2 more weeks to go.
This is your favorite sale.
Weeks.
You can't let
no,
it end.
I'm just...
We'll start over again. At...
No. This is the only time
Any
this will ever
with
be
an
run. Only prime numbers. If it has a prime number on the cover. But this week is K&X. So it's all
the
X-Books.
Could it be a
X-Books,
prime
25% off all X-Books.
But there's a good one.
And then next week is L and Y. So I'll start with that. My L is League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Nice pick.
I remember reading the first one and being, wow, I feel really dumb reading this because I have no idea what half the stuff they're referring to. I didn't like number two as much, and I really, the third one, which was the Black Dossier, was just way over my head. I'll probably try it again. But then when they did this Century, now I only read the very first one of Century, but I thought the Century 1910, the first issue of that, which was a big 64-page big thing. I loved that. I thought that one was fantastic. But I never did finish that because life gets in the way. But the first one I remember being really good. And I have a couple books that explain like all the references and things like that in
you got to read Tom Sawyer and 20,000 Leagues.
Yeah, but
sea,
just all these little Portrait all these little
Dorian
things.
Gray.
But yeah, and they've come out with like big collections of them. Like they have one and two in one big omnibus book. So it's stuff it's one of those things. Oh, I need to reread that when I have a spare month.
You'll have that
someday when I retire.
Take a vacation with you.
That's something I might do. Yeah, when we go to the beach this summer. And then the other one, the why is a tough one, because why is, like, literally a shelf.
Why the last man?
Hey! Don't steal, Dave. It's but Young Liars is one I remember starting. It was a Vertigo book. It was Dave Laugham, who did, what's the other one he's doing? Strange Bullets. And he's done a lot of little things here and there, especially for Marvel. I think he did the Age of Apocalypse one, and he's been around. So I remember that one was very interesting. That started when I opened. But as with most books, most series, I read first two issues, and that was about it. So it's my two. What do you got, Pat?
I just thought of one.
Oh, there you go.
No, I just thought of a Y that I can use. It's not a Y directly, but it's a Y. So for L, I got letter 44.
Okay.
Which is...
you guys have been liking it.
Yeah, it's a really...
Still good?
I'm reading it.
Oh, I thought you were reading it.
I dropped it a long time ago.
Okay.
It's an interesting concept.
Never mind.
Where it's in the first arc, especially, it starts off with the new president, who's the 44th president, has a letter from the previous president that says, "Hey, aliens are real. We sent a team up because we're going to get attacked by them." And then you find out that there's a lot more to it. It's still ongoing. I think now there's up to three trades, and they're working on the fourth, or there might be four trades, and it's going on its fifth. Don't want to spoil too much, but it's a very interesting concept. It's an interesting book. The trades are really cool looking, too.
It has really great trades. The like his cool, like almost like hologram-ish kind of lettering on it. Very like futuristic looking books.
Yeah.
They seem very, very. They seem like they're much more like they would be much more expensive than they are, just looking at them.
Yeah. And I'm going to be a little sneaky with my why. I'm going to go with Batman Year One.
That works. I did the killing joke for Kay last week. So.
Okay. So it kind of goes through Bruce's transformation into becoming Batman and his misadventures.
Year One definitely works if he was able to pass off Punk Rock Jesus under J Week.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
His character's nice. But it was in the title.
Jesus is a character.
Yeah.
Main character.
Okay.
So if the character... Well, it doesn't matter. We're never doing this sale again.
Whatever, anything goes.
If you have
point.
Any other Year One books, then this would work in that too. Like Green Arrow.
To say that. That's why I wasn't going to say that. I was like trying to leave one. That up for other people.
Colin didn't mean that when he said that. He said anything goes at this point. It's like, no, he didn't mean that. He's not giving 25% off across the board.
No.
Next 2 weeks.
It's just been a very frustrating sale.
All right.
I thought it was pretty simple.
Social experiment.
Adam.
Frustrating social experiment.
Well, like I said, with why was. I'll go with that Year Green Arrow Year One, but for L, I'm gonna go with the Legends of Zelda trade that we have.
There's a shocker.
It's really good. It's unique to have because it's hard to get that story from because
it's dangerous to go outside. Take this.
Yes. No, it's hard to get it because unless you go and find like old Nintendo Power magazines, you can't really read it. It's Legends of Zelda: A Link to the Past. And it's really awesome. So.
And you cosplay as Zelda, right?
No, I do not.
He does.
No. I thought Colin told me you did.
Colin, that's... No.
Did you not buy the cosplay stuff?
I bought a sword and I bought a shield. That was
That's because you had the little green outfit at home already.
Thank you.
And the ears.
Zelda doesn't wear the green outfit. That's Link.
Oh, okay.
Zelda wears the dress.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what Adam has.
Or the ninja suit.
That's Zelda.
Or the ninja suit.
If she wants to be chic, yeah.
She wants to be chic, yeah.
She's my favorite character in Smash Brothers.
It is a good character in Smash Brothers. I liked her in the game. Him, her, whatever.
But yeah. Her.
Yeah, it's a her. It really is. For a while, you're not so... It's spoiler alert!
Kind of like guys. How you get all the way through Metroid and find out Samus is a girl.
And people get all upset, like, I can't believe the lead in this game was a female.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Not again. I don't know, like it happens all
they're
the time.
They're the worst.
Women.
That's why you never see him here.
What about you, Dave?
Stop that.
For L, one of the first L's I thought of I'm going to go with is The Losers.
Okay.
It was a Vertigo series by Andy Diggle and Jock. And they were... It's group of, I guess they're like Soldiers of Fortune type characters on the run. But the thing about it is, it's just, everything about it, it's so kinetic. It's just like a action movie.
Well, they had a movie starred Negan.
Yeah,
and Thomas Wayne.
And Captain America was in it
too. Yeah.
But just
and
the
Thomas
art,
Wayne?
Just the art in this thing, he displays action like you've never seen it before, I thought. So I think that's a great book. And for why, I'm going to go with Young Avengers by Alan Heinberg and Jim Chung. I loved that book when it was coming out. It has loved those characters, and it had a real respect for continuity. And that these characters, you know, fell back on and stuff. So that's a great book.
Nice. So for why, Connor already mentioned it, but why The Last Man?
Pat mentioned it.
I am like exactly halfway through the series right now. I'm finally reading it, and it's been really great. I've been getting the bigger trades that have been coming out. I think there's four of them out right now.
Yeah.
Five comes out, I think, in August or something. I think. Book
sounds
five.
About right. I don't know when.
Out of, I think it's maybe six total.
No, I think it's five because it was originally 10 trades, and I think they're combining them.
Oh, okay. Oh, that works out then. That's almost done. So I guess I'm a little further than halfway through. But it's been great. If for some reason you don't know the premise of the story, all of the, you know, males, is it just male mammals?
I guess.
Everything with the Y, chromosome.
There you
go. Everything with the Y chromosome
except for York
dies.
And,
York Brown and Ampersand, his monkey, were the only ones that.
Don't talk about Ampersand.
And that's on sale because it's
shut up.
The letters.
Were the only males that still survived, and after like 3 months, he finally, you know, ventures out of his apartment wearing a gas mask and trying to keep himself concealed so that way, you know, people don't know that he's the last man on Earth. And it then turns into a quest for him to find his fiance, who's in Australia, while he's with a government agent and this doctor who are trying to use him to also figure out what happened and if there's some way they can, you know, find a cure so that way males could thrive again, either through, you know, being cloned or born or whatever. But it's a really great great series, great trades. Oftentimes the trades take you in directions you weren't expecting. The art, it's, how do you say her name? Paya Guerrera?
Yeah, something like that.
She's on art, and Brian Cavon is writing. But it's just been really enjoyable. Once you sit down and pick up one of the trades, I found that I'm plowing through them very, very quickly. Like, as soon as you start reading it, you just don't want to stop.
I didn't win the grand prize.
Sorry, pal.
Great prediction.
It was a great prediction. For my L book, I went with Lock and Key. So Lock and Key, it starts off in a very brutal manner. You have this family who are at this like summer home. You have angsty teenage kids. This, like, pain in the ass, you know, younger, like, youngest sibling. The dad is doing work in the house. And all of a sudden, these two, like, late teen, early 20-year-olds show up. And immediately, you know, they murder the dad. They try and rape the mom. The oldest son, you know, bursts in and saves her. And the family, you know, ends up moving back to the dad's family home in Lovecraft, Massachusetts. And it's this huge old house, and we start to see that there's something a bit different about this house, and it's called Key House, and they are slowly finding these weird keys looking within the house, and the keys have different properties and mystical abilities. And at the same time, there's someone from one of the characters' past who seems to almost be, I don't want to say leading a double life, but not quite who they say they are. And we find out that they have ties to the family that's lived in this house the throughout over the years, and the keys tie back to, you know, the times of the Revolutionary War, whenever the family was harboring soldiers in the caves beneath the house, and they found this doorway that on the other side had like these demon type creatures that, if they cross the threshold of the door, they just turn to this weird metal instantly. But if any of them manage to bond with a host, a human, before crossing the threshold, the human suddenly turned into like this murderous, evil person. Like people were, the soldiers starting to kill each other. I think like one turned into a cannibal in the process. But they found that this metal that the demons were turning into, they were forging as these keys initially to try and lock this door and keep anything from coming through. But eventually the keys were created, you know, for specific purposes and then hidden throughout the house. But the trades, I think there's six trades for it. And just as you read, the history develops and how rich of a story it becomes and how, you know, as different threads are pulled, how large the scope of the story becomes. It's a really incredible story. It's written by Joe Hill, Stephen King's son. I can't remember the artist's name. Do you remember, Dave? Or no, you didn't read Lucky, did you?
I never read it. No, I can't remember the artist's name. And
Gabriel Spanish. Something.
Yeah, Gabriel. Oh, yeah. They have a new book coming too. Sorry,
I'll have to look after this. Yeah, I forget. It was something with Image they're coming out with. I think. Was it?
So, yeah.
But it's just a really great series. My wife got me the slipcase of all the trades for our anniversary in October, and I plowed through it very quickly. It's beautiful art, great story. Highly recommend it.
That's over now, isn't it?
That ended a while ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that ended a couple years ago.
Okay.
They have the adult coloring book version out, and they just came out with an audiobook version.
Oh, wow. Gabriel Rodriguez.
Gabriel, that's okay. Rodriguez. Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. All right, and you said no questions.
Nope, no questions.
Are we doing this or doing books or what?
You know, I almost feel like I want to sit and read that a little more. I don't. I meant to, and I just I never had a chance to read through the DC previews. It's a lot more than I expected.
Yeah.
I'd gotten a PDF of the previews part, the back half of this, and it kind of looked at it.
But you want to look at the front a little bit.
But yeah, I want to read the little articles and stuff.
Do you want to do this one?
We'll do them both next week.
Okay.
Maybe.
I didn't know. Yeah, we'll talk. Because
the main thing I wanted that I found interesting reading the Marvel previews was how many books weren't tying into Civil War, which surprised me. Books like Avengers, Captain America. So and a lot of them were like part one of some new event. It's like, so you're not tying in anytime soon, and Civil War is only 7 issues of power metallic dust.
But 7 issues in a Marvel event could last 8 months.
Well, yeah, true. But yeah, so I just found that was the main thing I wanted to talk about. See if anybody else noticed anything stuck out to them.
Has this come out by chance, number 2?
Black Widow came out last week, this week?
Wow, I didn't say.
Maybe last week. I don't remember. But yeah, no. No, it was last week because I read it.
Oh.
I have a review of it. Hey, look at that. I wrote notes.
Well, why don't you start?
Way to transition, Adam.
Good job, Adam. Whatever. Sorry, Henrik Lundqvist is out of the game. Interesting. So.
You had a hissy fit.
Yeah, he did. No, he got hit in the face with a stick, apparently. Uncanny X-Men number 6.
Listen to you.
Kind of.
You have a lot of power.
I do. I have the power. Like the power metallic dust. Sorry. That is right. Hang on. Sorry. It is power metallic dust, wasn't it? It was, they sent a,
what do you
say? You really hate on these covers.
The brisket. Like, the brisket up and turn it back.
No, I'm not hating on the covers. I just thought it was funny that it was a
brisket. Yes.
That's all I can think of when he said that.
It was a gloss. I'm sorry, power metallic gloss covers on every issue of Civil War. I just found that funny. That's what I. So somebody made a comment, and I did it all in capitals with exclamation points. Power metallic gloss. It's got to be awesome. Okay, but Uncanny X-Men 6. I hadn't read this book only because I was not really all that interested in the villains. And I'm not a huge fan of Greg Land art. It's pretty, but when you're looking at expressions and body positions instead of the actual art, it kind of loses something. But I'm very interested in the Apocalypse War. Not to say I was ever a big Apocalypse fan, but I mean, Age of Apocalypse, that was an important book when I was reading. That kind of got me back into comics and stuff, and that was kind of fun reading that as it came out. I remember I was doing a show at Station Square, and it was kind of funny. I had my collection, and I remember I was off looking through a guy. He was selling stuff cheap, and I was going through his stuff, and Sandy called me back over to ask if we had one of the issues. I don't no idea which one. And I'm like, yeah, and I found it and sold it. It was just like at cover price, mm-hmm. like $2, and then I went back to that table I was and bought it back for 50 cents and took it back to my booth.
Sandy worked the show with you?
Yeah, she was a trooper. Well, there were no kids, so yeah, she came with.
So she worked in the comics retail.
She did. She had no idea what was going on, but she kind of enjoyed it. But so Uncanny X-Men 6 is the first part of the Apocalypse War. I wasn't a huge fan of the Extraordinary X-Men first part because it was a little. That was the weird one with Candyman or not Candyman. Yeah, isn't that who it was? Candyman and. Yes. They go like
you said it too many times.
Another dimension. No, Taters was already here. So it gets sent to another dimension, and like Deadpool is one of the four horsemen. It was Deadpool, Moon Knight, Venom, and Colossus were the four horsemen.
When is Venom or Moon Knight a mutant?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was very, and I was like, I was not sold on that. So I kind of went in this one a little
Deadpool's not
with
really
a little trepidation.
He was very very specific about. Picking mutants to be his horsemen because that was his whole thing.
Well, in this alternate reality, Venom might be, and Moon Knight looked like a girl, so who knows? But that was the one thing I didn't like about it. It just seemed very
being
weird.
Transgender doesn't mean you're a mutant.
No, but the character could be a mutant. I wasn't making any comment there.
Colin,
God.
But so I read Uncanny X-Men 6, and it was actually very interesting. And it made me want to read, and I think the trade comes out next week, but it made me kind of want to go back and read the rest. Only because Angel is very, almost like comatose. Like, he's non-responsive, and Psylocke keeps talking to him. And it referenced, she's worried, you know, is he going back, is he going to become...
Archangel again,
and become... Apocalypse again.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk like that, so that's where it might lead to. So that was very interesting. The art...
Has Iceman been in this?
He wasn't in this particular issue, so I can't...
Because I'm wondering if they're, you know...
Iceman was in the Extraordinary Team, at least at the beginning.
Are they doing any... Because remember, he came out as gay at the end of the last...
Right. Well, the young one did, not the current
one. Is old
right,
Matt
but the
Logan
young one's still there.
Extraordinary Team?
Is who?
Old Man Logan.
Yes.
That's that theme. Is Storm a part of it as well?
Yes.
Okay, that'll come back.
No, the current one is too. Because they have a conversation that kind of confirms it. He was just way more closeted. I'm just wondering if they did anything with that or if they just kind of ignored it afterward. Yeah, like,
that I don't know.
Maybe we shouldn't touch
that. Oh, okay. This is why this one intrigued me. Because now it's written by Colin Bunn, who did good. But it was Ken Lashley art. And my only real experience with him was on the first couple issues of Secret Six, which were very rough.
They were very rough, and then the delays hit.
Yeah, very delayed, but
and then
very,
issues,
very rough art.
Issues started coming out in the wrong order because of his art.
So I had a little trepidation.
He had medical issues during that time. Okay. So, who knows?
But the art on this was fantastic. I was very, very impressed. And I'm going to keep reading this particular one. I thought it was very, very good. And I did like that it referenced the Uncanny X-Force run that I thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Which it should have.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I didn't know if it would. And granted, it was Angel Apocalypse on the cover and everything, but after kind of the
kid,
weird twist
Evan.
On...
Yeah,
well, the next one, that's in All New, is going to be Evan.
Oh, okay.
So that was very, very good.
I
enjoyed
that.
That
was a good story.
Discipline 2. Anybody else read that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, first one was odd. This one took it to a whole nother level of... sexual depravity, and basically, in order to fulfill this ritual, this guy is seducing this girl.
It's called discipline.
Who's
so
married.
Really
yeah. It's like an affair gone bad. And
was there a bunny rabbit put in a pot?
No. But just...
Not
all of a sudden,
bad.
This guy that she's having this affair with, he's part of some, I don't want to say cult, but something where he's going through a ritual, and they're recruiting her for something, and at one point they end up at an S&M club, and it was adult. My review, deeply disturbing S&M book. So, there you go. Not bad, just... know what you're getting. And I mean, granted, she's half undressed on the cover, and there's a demon hand, so it's, you know, knew what you were
Colin
getting into.
Had to have a safe word to read the book.
Kinda. Okay, Nick, Black Panther. Anybody read Black Panther?
No.
That was the book of the week. Come on, guys.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was an interesting start to the new series. Basically, Wakanda is being taken over by... like an ISIS type group where they're trying, you know, they're stirring an uprising against the government, against the king. And
is it within Wakanda? Like,
So he's having to put this down. And then there's also his sister, I believe it's his sister, who was like in Claw of the Black Panther with a K, that series so now she and her lover, she has to rescue her lover who's about to be put to death for doing something. And then they both have these kind of bat suits now. There was a pen underneath. Yeah, there's a pen underneath, like the top.
That's all.
I didn't. You're I wasn't. Helpful. No, I wasn't looking. I heard you say pen.
Okay. No, there's one underneath those top. So it was interesting, and they have these like suits that let them do stuff. So interesting start to this one. Bloodlines. Anybody read that? No, was interesting. I was intrigued. I read it just because it was a number one. Interesting book. I couldn't tell you what the original Bloodlines was. That was like from 94. Went through all the DC annuals. Introduced a lot of characters. But what this is, basically, it's this kid who living in this small town. A meteor crashes at the beginning and it like infects this deer. Like something happens to this deer and all of a sudden it eyes blazing and goes crazy. And it's following this kid who used to skateboard and stuff, but something's wrong with his back, and now he has the cane. You know, he's walking with the two, kind of like the son in Breaking Bad. Something's happened. And but like his best friend is like the jock quarterback and picks him up, but he's always late picking him up, so he's already walked halfway to school. But because he's still their friends, he gets invited to parties and stuff, and he rarely goes to, but he decides to go to this one, and he says, you know, normally nurses a beer because, you know, you can't drink and drive. Well, he can't drive, but drunk walking doesn't work really well when you're on crutches. Right, but that's what he's saying, so that doesn't go well. And then all of a sudden this deer comes out of the woods, starts attacking people, attacks his best friend, and all of a sudden he, like, hulks out. And there's a blue character on the cover, and he takes the deer and rips the deer's head off and everything, and he's there at the end going, what happened to me? And his friend's dead, and so where it's going from here. So it was interesting. There was definitely enough there to keep reading. Well, I don't know if they'll say he did it, but what happened to him? Was he also infected by this alien thing crashing and stuff? So it was interesting. I give it credit for that. So I'm going to keep going. It was enough to get me to read issue two. Empress.
I read that.
Okay. I'll leave that one for Dave. Fix. Anybody read Fix number one? This was neat. Tim enjoyed it. We've done two of them now. It's a conference call, and I do it just on my cell phone and just kind of listen. They put you on mute. And this was for The Fix, which was Nick Spencer and Steve Lieber. Now, I know Steve Lieber. I've known him for a long time, just talking at conventions. And he lives in Portland, so he was at the last two Comics Pro meetings. He was one of the Eisner judges last year for the retailer thing.
Oh, so
he
screwed you.
Tell him every time. I said he was at the opening night reception. They're talking, and I'm like, oh, I don't talk to you. You didn't vote for me. And he's like, I'm sorry. So it's a little running joke. But that's fun to have a little running joke with a creator.
And then he apologized. That means he really didn't vote for you. Then.
Well, yeah, no.
I did. Really, it was
the
other
guys. He could have been like, yeah, but instead he was like, no, I'm sorry.
But this is a neat book where it starts off with these two guys robbing an old folks' home. They had heard that this one guy has all this money stashed. And so they go in and they go and steal from him. And then he wakes up and pulls out a shotgun, starts shooting at him, and they run out. And then it shows him back at the car and talking about how much they got. And they didn't have enough to pay back whoever they're trying to pay off. And then all of a sudden, there's a police call about a burglary at this old folks' home, and the one guy peels off his mask and picks up the thing, says, okay, yeah, this is unit, whatever. We'll be right there. And so they're cops pulling these crimes. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into a little backstory about how he realized, you know, something had happened and a cop had to come, and the cop was sleeping with his mom and got to respect cops, and they were awesome. But then he also realized that he had, yeah.
You have the same question I do, I think.
Yeah, the way you said that was the cop was sleeping with his mom.
Yes.
The cop's mom?
No, with the kid's mom. Oh. He was a kid. Yeah. Something had happened to their family.
The way you said it, though, no,
and a police officer had to come and help them. No. And he's like, wow, I want to be like him because he's, you know, the lady.
Well, banging my mom.
No, but because all of a sudden the ladies were all over him and he was respected and all this stuff.
Badge bunnies.
And then he also realized that, hey, wait, this is pretty cool, too, because you can also, you know, shake down your informants for drugs and all this fun stuff. Well,
all the fun stuff.
And then, it's funny because one guy's wearing this Hawaiian shirt drugs. And then they go back in as the cops wearing the same shirt he just robbed the place in. So, that was kind of funny. And one guy was kind of getting on him about that. Going, really? You're going to wear that same shirt in? But it turns out whoever they owed a lot of money to at the very end kind of gave him an ultimatum of either I'm going to kill you or you have to do this. And basically the thing that they have to do is like a fate worse than death. And that's where it ended. But it was fun. It was a neat little, you know, it's an image book. But it was fun and quirky and different. I did like that. They're the same team that did the Superior Foes of Spider-Man, which was a humor book.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the same creative team. Okay. So.
Same tone?
Yeah, okay. Very much so. Very much so. Let's see. Justice League Dark Side Special.
No one read that.
Okay. I liked it. I thought it was a nice little interlude, and it was a way to give you the history of Grail without taking up a Justice League issue. Sadly, it's kind of like the Justice League issue for the month. It's been so long. Right. No, you're right. You're right. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
I like the bookends.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Power Ring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely looking at the previews, Power Ring is going to become she's becoming the Green Lantern.
Yeah, which is good.
So that was good. I know Adam wants to talk about Poe Dameron, so I'll leave that for him. Black Widow 2. Nobody?
I read that.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was much better than number one. Now, what I wrote is I almost wish number one was double-sized and had both issues one and two, because one was so light, nothing happened in it. This explains what she was doing, why issue one happened. There was just so much. What?
What do you think was there where that ellipsis is at?
I don't know.
Probably something like worth the ridiculously long wait.
Yeah, that could be. Well, it was. It was several years.
But it's just funny that they like cut out some little part in the middle there to just have worth the ... wait.
Yeah. Josh is looking at the Batman Europa hardcover.
Yeah, there's a quote in the back. It's Batman Europa's gorgeous art was worth the ... wait. So clearly the quote wasn't entirely nice, but they cut part of it out to make it look nice.
But it was an outstanding series.
The hardcover can be yours, Pat.
Yeah, but then I also said I may not have come back for number two if it had not been for faith in the creative team. Number two was so much better than number one, which isn't really the way to go about doing it. But I kind of understand why they did. It's the Bendis syndrome, and I'm seeing it in a lot of books now, which is disappointing, where the first page or the first couple pages are all action, then it goes 10 minutes before,
it's kind of annoying.
It's very annoying. Jackpot was like that, I think, today. The book was fine, but it started with something, and then 10 minutes before, it was like to set up what happened. It's like,
I have faith in Mark Waid and Christine O'Neill, pretty much. They just work so well together.
When they do something like that, it almost feels like they don't trust their audience to be engaged in the beginning.
Yep.
So they feel like they have to hook them with something crazy and bombastic.
Right,
and
exactly.
Well, it's like James Bond movies. You never see James Bond movies talking to M. It's always something.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Yeah. Spider-Woman Alpha. Anyone? No. Not bad, but it had a major, major flaw. But basically, this is the Spider-Woman, Spider-Gwen, and Silk. And They're getting together because they meet up regularly, and Spider-Woman wants to get away from her baby, so they're going out to eat.
Already?
Yeah. And they're, well, because it's just crying, and she leaves it with Porcupine or somebody.
You can sure to leave a baby with Porcupine.
Does she live in the Disney Channel?
No, whatever. I don't know who the guy, but if anything's happened, she's going to turn his costume inside out.
I guess that's because Grizzly wasn't available.
Maybe it was Grizzly. I don't know who it was. But they want to go out to eat, but I guess Spider-Woman always wants to go to the same place. And so Spider-Gwen says, well, I know some place I'd like to go eat, but it's on Earth 51. So they all go to Earth 51 to go to this place
to eat.
That's
irresponsible.
Right. And then they're talking. It had some interesting parts where they're talking about Silk behind her back because she's not, I guess, real bright. And she overhears them talking about that. And one of the things, she's wondering if there's a Silk on Earth 51. And Spider-Gwen says she doesn't know. And early on, before Spider-Gwen went, she was doing something on Earth 51. And somebody was watching her. And then all of a sudden, she disappeared. So, and then they had to fight Ultimo or somebody on Earth 51. And then while they're doing that, this guy stole her thing that lets them teleport from Earth to Earth. So now they got to figure out a way back. And it turns out that the person that this guy is working for, the mastermind behind the stealing of the thing, is that Earth Cindy Moon. My problem with this book is that Vanessa Del Rey did the art. Vanessa Del Rey isn't bad, but Vanessa Del Rey is a very indie, very noir artist, which really didn't work
for that.
For this book. Hang on one sec. I want to go grab it. Adam took a picture of one particular page.
Why don't you talk and one of us will go get it?
Well, because I'm easy.
All right, well, he's walking. I'll start my books and then I'll stop when he comes back.
Okay.
So, Detective Comics 51. I think I'm the only person still reading that.
I'm behind on that book. I get him.
Yeah, I was going to jump off and then ended up jumping back on for whatever reason. I can't remember now, but... this has Jim Gordon, who gets a call from...
Actually, it looks a little bit like Frank Avila art from, like, Afterlife with Archie, almost.
Somebody chewed it up and spit it out.
I'll finish this real quick, then we'll get back. So he gets a call from someone who he was in the Marines with, talking about something that they covered up back when he was in the Marines is coming back, and people from his group are being killed... it looks like very systematically. So he ends up taking, you know, his bat costume and going to Afghanistan, seeing his former CO, and trying to investigate what's going on from there. So this, it looks like it's clearly taking place before the end of the super heavy arc. So it looks like Bruce Wayne still isn't back as Batman, because we have the blimp still, and Daryl and Julia are still working the blimp. It was a very focused on... It was very much a detective story. You saw very little Batman in this. The only time you saw Batman is... Well, two times. One time he was trying to, like, break in to someone's office and steal some files, so you don't want to do it without having some sort of disguise on. But then when he had to strong-arm someone, that's when he pulled out the Batman suit. Because Batman instills more fear than Jim Gordon does. But it was a very good... detective story. I think it's a nice way to just have, you know, a couple issues before Rebirth and then be done with it. But overall, it was a pretty good issue.
Did you like this book when it focused a lot on Jim Gordon and Harvey Bullock? Like, it was mainly their book, not so much Batman.
I did.
I don't think DC picked up on that people liked it, because I feel like a lot of people did like that book.
This book,
but they didn't go in that direction with this.
This book shouldn't be about supervillains.
No.
It should be
street-level crime.
And I think it would fit in with, you know, okay, well, you have people that are watching Gotham come in and look at, well, you can suggest a book that deals more with Commissioner Gordon and Harvey Bullock, and you had that option, where now they kind of did away with that, which I don't know if it just didn't work for them, and it worked better for us, like, we liked it, but maybe it didn't sell as well.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, no, I like...
I like the
better.
Idea of that.
All right, sir. Now back to Spider-Woman.
No, it's not bad art. I just don't think it's It's not superhero art,
not
and it's certainly not female
like
superhero art.
Stylistically, I think it looks like Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah.
Look at her face in that picture, though. Her face is upside down. Like, it would look better if they flipped it upside down in that Spider-Gwen. With the Spider-Man outfit.
Like that. It looks like Betty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I just don't think... It's not. Now, this is just the opening one, and then the other one's going to go through the other books with their own artists, so it's going to be a little odd as well.
Okay.
It does look like that style. I don't mind that style.
No, I don't mind
that
style.
But I just don't think
it
worked on this
work
book.
For the block.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not horrible, but it just, yeah, just.
But, like, if you're doing a creepy book or, like,
yes.
more of a horror book, it works real well.
If it does it, if it's a little darker or covering, then it would probably be a lot better.
So what else, Colin?
Superman 51. I just said, wow, I thought the Michael Janin art was amazing. He does Grayson. I just thought the art was really good on this. This is setting up a lot. This is a Super League story.
Sorry, you said Superman 51. Yeah. I was looking at my list and realized there were two books from last week I didn't read, and now I'm questioning if I actually got them or not.
Well, here's a question. Why are they starting story arcs now to go into Rebirth?
Yeah.
Well, this is the wrapping up Peter, of the... Sorry. This is the...
Peter Tomasi is going to be writing all four of the Superman books for the last
up to this,
2 months here. So this arc is... It's a two-month arc that goes through Superman, Batman, Superman,
books.
Superman, Wonder Woman, and Action Comics.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of that aspect, especially after we just had this big, long arc that went through multiple books. It wasn't as required as some other arcs have been to read all the different books, but...
I gotcha.
I wasn't a fan of the whole eight-parter thing, and it's very clearly eight parts because each issue has a number on it.
Yeah.
But the first issue wasn't bad. The Michael Janin art is great.
I've
been a fan of his for a while. The premise answers a lot of questions. It answers a lot of questions that the previews for DC Rebirth raised, like which Superman we're getting, or with Action Comics, they said, you know, Clark Kent returns from the dead. So this kind of leads us to where that's going now with him, you know, possibly dying because of his fight with Rao and his kryptonite therapy and... What was on Apocalypse when he...
Yeah, when he absorbed all that, the energy on Apocalypse, and the kryptonite thing.
Yeah.
His fight with Rao and JLA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this
is tying
takes
everything
place
in.
After all of that.
Okay.
Yeah,
seems cool. I just don't want to jump into those last issues like that, so I feel like I'm going to wait for this one, but...
See, for me, I mean, not even continuity-wise. Like, I'm not trying to be a continuity nerd, but, like, that didn't all happen at one time.
No, but I guess this is after everything, though. So
they're not saying that all happened at one time. It's just saying that this happened after all of that. And over time,
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, he's done too much damage to himself because of those three big key events.
So it's kind of like All-Star Superman. He's going to go reignite the sun.
It seems like.
Yeah, not sure where it's going to go. Did you mention that other Superman that popped up?
No, because I didn't understand exactly what was going on.
Yeah, so then there's this other dude who looks like he's on the run or wanted in some capacity, and his identity gets... someone recognizes him. And they try to arrest him, but then he says that he is Superman.
Right.
So, and he does kind of
look...
There's
like an explosion or something.
There's an explosion. He does, like, look similar to Clark Kent. Not exactly, but... Yeah, it was good. It was a bit weird. I heard Batman Superman today was pretty good. So I was on the fence if I was going to actually buy all these issues, but I decided to bite the bullet and buy that book today. So hopefully...
Okay.
It's a good storyline. Did you read it yet?
Oh, which? Batman Superman? No, I didn't. I did take it home, though. But I didn't get a chance to read it.
But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Michael Janin on Batman
yeah.
with David Fincher. Or Finch. It's not saying Fincher. Fincher.
Finch.
Finch. That's right.
Yeah. Fincher's the director.
Yeah.
That's right. As always, Dave, you are absolutely correct.
That's all I got, because, yeah, I'm leaving Poe Dameron for Adam, because he's got a lot to say.
But Dave can bring it up, too, because he reads it.
All right, so
the
on my list.
The book was received poorly.
On my list, I just realized I didn't read Green Arrow or Green Lantern, so for some reason I had a vendetta against the Green books last week. I don't know why. Except for Swamp Thing. I read Swamp Thing.
And now you have a vendetta.
I didn't enjoy it, but I read it.
Like,
the story's wacky.
Yeah.
But fine. Whatever.
It's the art.
The art. It depends. In some panels, if they're trying to go for like a creepy vibe, like if they're drawing Swamp Thing in a creepy way, it works. But anything that should be detailed is... It's pretty bad, especially faces.
Yeah, faces were just awful. Just especially Zatanna. Zatanna looked really
faces
odd.
Were awful. Zatanna looked really odd. Any panel where it had like small silhouettes of people,
yeah,
he just like drew like a rectangle of color with like a little circle on top of it.
Yeah,
it was really weird. It looked so rushed and done, you know, half-heartedly. And
which I haven't seen totally with like the last few that he did, like the first couple books that he did, like, but this one seemed really rushed.
This one stood out the most to me as
being
poor quality.
I was looking at it, I laughed. I actually laughed out loud when I saw Zatanna's face in one of the panels, because I was just like, what is that? Like,
yeah.
It just was really, it almost looked like somebody drew like a smiley face or something. It was
I didn't laugh. I just got kind of angry.
You cried a little bit.
I got the page I looked at. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. But it
disappoints me, because this book should be good.
Yeah.
With the team that's on it.
I don't know where they're going with it. Like, I thought when they came into this, they had like a bigger story to tell.
This,
I think they would have should have just
this
put
six
this
issue miniseries is telling, I think, like three stories.
Yeah, and they're not really that interesting of stories.
Yeah.
Like the one with the zombie guy, this one.
That was more
like,
interesting to me than this right now.
Yeah, this is not interesting at all, because you think of this character and they're like, oh, they're friends, and then they're not friends because maybe
well, yeah,
happened
now,
with the green.
It's so what's going on is Matthew Cable comes to Alec Holland and says he owes him, and he found a way to turn him human again. So they go to Zatanna to help them out with this, you know, big ritual, and Alec Holland does in fact become human again. But what they didn't tell him is that Swamp Thing, the mantle being Swamp Thing, would be passed on to someone else. So Matt Cable now became Swamp Thing, and he knew that would happen. And he's still playing up the whole thing like, oh no, I owed you. I'm fine doing this. I'm fine carrying this, you know, this burden.
Yeah.
And it takes Alec a little while to come around to the idea of it. At first, he feels very guilty, and finally he's, you know, he warms up to it, but he insists on at least helping him train and learn how to be, you know, the Avatar of the Green. So they go back to the swamps, and he's, you know, training him. Everything seems fine. And then there is this poacher who gets a kill.
Jeez, that whole scene, though.
Yes, poacher gets a kill, and Swamp Thing approaches him. And, you know, Alec is there too, and all of a sudden things escalate, and the hunter threatens Swamp Thing, tells him to get back, or he's going to shoot him. He ends up shooting him, and this new Swamp Thing just tears him in half.
Yeah.
Like, he just quickly, you know, vines around him, tears him in half.
He
intestines.
Even sends, like, vines inside of him.
Yeah, vines
went
inside
of
him.
His nose and his mouth, and he just rips him in half.
Intestines,
like,
flying out. Like, it was a brutal...
Yeah.
Scene. And
that guy was a jerk, though.
He was a jerk, but in that
was
moment...
Get ripped in half?
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Pat doesn't get ripped in half.
It was a bit much.
It's a slight, yeah, it's a slight overreaction.
Yeah.
And when that happened, Swamp Thing plays it off like he didn't realize how powerful he was, and it was a mistake.
My bad.
Yeah, so Alec Holland is, you know, saying, well, he needs to keep a better eye on him.
I didn't like that. Afterwards, when he does rip in half, he's just like... Well, we just got to play it cool next time or something like that. And I'm just like, what? Like, you're really just letting that one slide. Well, it was just some jerk hunter. Like,
he did want to call the cops.
Yeah.
And once he went to call the cops, that's when Swamp Thing starts to really, like, show his true colors. And we find out that Matt Cable didn't do this to help Holland. He did this because he wanted his life to have some meaning, and he wanted the power behind it. Yeah, he wanted that ultimate power.
Yeah. You think he has another motive in the third issue, even, because once he changes into him, he's just like, oh, what'd you think was going to happen, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that happened, and you're just like, oh, this guy did this on purpose.
Yeah.
But then at the beginning of this issue, it makes you feel like he did.
He's, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that could have been written a little better, but.
So at least by the end, I feel like the story became a little more intriguing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that art.
Really boring beginning. Was painful, the boring art beginning. Was just really bad.
And it took a lot to get here to where we're at now, yeah. And I don't know if it was worth it, but at this point there's two issues left, so I'm not going to drop with just two issues left in the miniseries.
Yeah.
So I'll be the sucker and keep.
I'll keep doing it. Yeah, yeah. I just play it, but yeah, I just did not go as well as, like, I was really excited for this book because
so
I
was
like
I.
Swamp Thing, and
so
it just did not.
Yeah, I loved the previous Swamp Thing runs.
Yeah. I don't know what the plan was for this book.
I don't,
like,
I just think they thought that they will get, you know, Lemween and Kelly Jones on there, and yeah. it'll just be great. It'll be magic, and it's not.
Yeah, and Lemween wrote that Metal Men story. That was pretty decent.
I like
the story. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been horrible.
No, but it's been too many ups and downs. Yes. Like it hasn't been great.
I think he should have just had one big story. Not
it's been okay to good at best, and some of them is really just flat out boring or scattered.
Yes.
But the art has been the biggest inconsistency.
In the beginning, I liked the art. Like,
yeah,
I
but
really
it's gone downhill
it's going,
since
it's very
the first
rushed
issue.
In this issue. Just the worst I've seen.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Vision, number 6. Anyone reading that?
That book I'm going to pick up and trade as well.
It's really, really good. And this issue kicks things up drastically. So this issue starts out with you have a neighbor who is looking for his dog. And Vision and his family are sitting down to dinner, and the dog is out digging in their yard. So the dog ends up finding Grim Reaper buried in the yard. Yeah, his wife buried Grim Reaper there. And the dog is digging him up, bites him, and gets electrocuted. They hear this big zap and a yell, and Vision says he'll go outside to check and see what it is, and he sees the dog, sees Grim Reaper, and this is the first time he, you know, found out that his family actually killed Grim Reaper.
Killed my dog.
So then we see, you know, it flashes forward a little bit to this neighbor coming to their house to ask them if they know what. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention to that while I was talking.
sorry, Crosby Squad.
So, where was that? The
Vision
guy came to their house about the dog and asked if they've seen the dog, and the wife immediately is inviting him inside, and he comes inside.
She kills him.
The entire house is completely destroyed inside. Furniture's torn apart, the walls are ripped down, the floor has big gaping holes in it.
So
and
Vision's an abusive husband.
And she's just playing off like, oh, yeah, we're remodeling. I read somewhere that you have to destroy what's there first before you can build new. And
she's pretty slick.
They're walking through the whole house. She's like, see, there's no dog here. And then they walk outside, and the yard's completely torn up. And they just play it off like, oh, yeah, we're getting a pool put in also. And while this is going on, it cuts to Vision in this lab, and it looks like he's at an autopsy table, and blood's all over his face, and he's a hacksaw, and you think that he's cutting apart Grim Reaper to dispose of the body, but it's the dog. And he's taking the dog's brain out of the cavity, and
he's going to put it in his wife, because obviously the dog's smarter.
And then he's doing an experiment on the brain, and next thing you know it, Vision shows up back at his house, says he has something for the kids in his big box. And he makes a Vision dog from the brain. And it looks very much like the dog that the neighbor had. And
Vision's a jerk.
Yeah, this green dog. And suddenly the kids who, they're all scattered through the house, you know, in like this depression, everyone kind of starts to come together now because this dog, you know, is like this focal point of happiness in the house. And
so
we're finding
that house.
Yeah.
Not in the other house. People's house.
Well, and Vision's now apologizing for his actions, and at the same time, there's someone else, like, recounting the actions of Vision and what has happened. And at the end of the book, they come to the conclusion, we find out that Vision has now gotten to the point where he's no longer, you know, functioning on reason or logic. He will now do anything to make sure his family, his new created family, are okay. And he will kill or destroy anyone in his path that, that may threaten their safety. And you're seeing, like, through this issue, him turning in that direction, going spiraling down. And it's just, the book has just a really great, like, almost horror, suspense, thriller vibe to it. This is one of the best books I think I'm reading every month right now. I'm really glad I decided to pick it up. Ninjak number 14. Any of you guys reading Ninjak?
I bought it, but I'm waiting for the third trade.
Okay.
So I can catch up to it. Yeah.
So this is the brand new arc, the Siege of King's Castle. So it picks up right after Operation Deadside, and he's in his home, King's Castle, and looks like he's trying to, you know, rest or recuperate, and suddenly someone assaults his home, and all of his defenses, none of it matters, and the castle gets completely decimated. He tries to make his way to one of his, like, you know, weapons and equipment caches that he has hidden, and finds out that someone's already gotten to that first as well. So then he tries to make his way to MI6, and any record of him has been deleted from the databases. The you know, low-level operatives there have no idea who he is. So he has to break into Neville Alcott's office to try and talk to him and see if he can figure out what's going on. And Alcott is, you know, playing like he's on his side, and then you find out that Alcott double-crosses him. And
that guy always seemed like a jerk, though.
Well, yeah, and, you know, calls in the other agents to try and take him captive. And he's playing off like he just, you know, wants to bring him in so that way they can figure out what's going on. But it seems like there's more to it, even from, you know, Alcott's side or MI6's side. So essentially, he's been burned. Someone is, you know, systematically going through and trying to wipe out everything that he has and everything that points to who he actually is. We know that I can't remember her name now. The one villain we've seen a few times throughout the series, who has, like, the razor hair,
yeah,
and whatnot.
I can't remember her name right now.
Drive me nuts, I just had it. But she was on the cover, so we know she's involved somehow. But there's a really interesting setup for it, and really plays up the whole, like, spy.
She was on the first
aspect of the character. Mm-hmm. But it was really good. It should be a very different arc from what we've seen in this book so far. And the last one I'll mention is Wicked and Divine.
I need to get caught 18. Up on that.
So this just came back from a break. Previously, we found out that Laura, the like fangirl that was hanging out with the different gods, who initially, like, befriended Lucifer, and then from there, that was, you know, her entry point to the rest of the gods. That she herself, you know, was going to become a god. She became Persephone.
But then she got killed immediately.
As soon as she became Persephone, then the woman who was kind of like the caretaker of all these gods killed her and her entire family, blew up her house, everyone was dead. And we didn't see her again for a few more issues. I think there's a couple issues after that. Yeah, the whole arc, whenever Jamie McKelvey wasn't on the book. So this issue, she suddenly reappears as Persephone, and the woman, that caretaker, is playing her up as this destroyer, and they have to rally to take her out. And we're seeing now a divide between the gods, where some of them with, again, I can't remember this woman's name, the caretaker woman, who watches over them, but some of them are with her, but then a smaller group have been communicating with Laura this whole time, and break off and try and meet up with her and hide away in the underground area that some of them were in previously. So it's setting up for a big battle between these two sets of the gods. And I think it's trying to play up maybe the idea that the gods aren't just dying after 2 years. Maybe this woman has something to do with, you know, their death every 2 years. Because we've seen her kill, I think, a couple of them now. And not really sure why or what her motives are. But it's been a really, like, consistently good book. Like, there are a couple issues that may have been a bit wordy. But for the most part, it's been a really solid book. And now that McKelvey's back on the art, I mean, they had some great guest artists while he was gone, but having him back is a nice welcome treat. Dave?
New number one from Aftershock, Rough Riders.
I sold out real quick and got him back in.
Yeah, I wanted to read that.
I got him back in.
And you were out.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. This takes place in 1898. It kind of reimagines Teddy Roosevelt as a, not a superhero, but kind of like a pulp hero.
I think he was that.
Okay.
I mean, you've seen all the stuff Teddy Roosevelt did.
Yeah.
He might be a superhero.
Okay. And he saves some people from a burning building at the beginning of the issue, and then he goes to the New York Athletic Club, where the Four Horsemen are there, who are Dale Carnegie, J.P. Morgan, and two others. I don't think they mentioned the other two. And they tell him that
they're trust busting.
They tell him the USS Maine. They tell him that the USS Maine was sunk in Havana Harbor by the Spanish, and that's what they're telling people, but something fantastic, more fantastic happened than that. And the U.S. is going to declare war, so he wants Teddy Roosevelt to... They want Teddy Roosevelt to assemble a team and go down there. So then it turns into... This is the basic, you know, assembling of the heroes team. And first one he goes to get is Jack Johnson.
Okay.
And convinces him to join his team. And then he tells, you know, Jack Johnson, they're gonna go get the next person, the magician, and the last page is
Harry Houdini.
And I really liked it. Very interesting.
It seems like an interesting idea.
It's almost like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, historical figures.
On the cover they show. On the cover they also show Annie Oakley, and
it's a Wild Bill Hickok, I think.
I couldn't make out one of them. Thomas Edison's on the cover too.
Okay,
as part of the group. But yeah, the art was nice and clean. And
I think that more is a Tesla.
I would have used Tesla.
Yeah.
He's always forgotten.
I know.
He's a wizard.
Right? So. I mean, you got to feel bad for me. This comic book they couldn't use, huh?
Who's it?
He would have fit that.
No, the writer was Adam Glass. I'm not familiar. I don't think I'm familiar.
Yeah, see, I didn't order a ton because I didn't wasn't really familiar, but I got got in a bunch more this week.
Good.
But I really liked it. Yeah,
it's also only a $2 book.
Oh. Maybe it was
that. Empress number one.
I like that. I thought the art was fantastic. Yeah, Stuart Immonen art. Mark Millar wrote it.
Yeah, another high concept miniseries from Mark Millar. takes place 65 million years ago with the Earth's first rulers. So there's like spaceships and dinosaurs.
There were dinosaurs in it, but no, it was regular people.
Yeah. And so it's King Morax. At the beginning, King Morax. He's disciplining.
He just got done with work. He surfed down a brontosaurus.
he's torturing some people because they didn't. He's torturing these three people and because they didn't stand up for him. When someone
their
else
friend was a traitor or something,
traitor.
And they turned him in, but he punishes them anyway because they didn't rip him apart as they realized.
And his wife, Queen Emporia, is watching this, and she like turns to the side and goes, "I got to get out of here."
Well, the one thing that was scary was like you could either face him or the monster, and they all immediately go, "The monster," which is a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
So how bad is this guy if they're willing to get torn apart by a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Yeah.
So.
So they.
We just need flares.
So they, the queen's bodyguard, you know, helps her and the kids escape, and they're going off to see her sister. Yeah, it was really good. It just started and didn't stop. You know, it just got right into the story and chugged ahead. It was really good. I'll leave. You want to talk about Poe Dameron?
You can bring it up because I. Did you read it all the way?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't. I gave up. So go ahead and talk about it.
You gave up?
Wow.
I gave up.
It was poorly written.
It was clichely written. My problem with it, like the beginning, it's, oh my gosh, he's flying and these doors are closing and whatever is he going to do? How's he going to get out? How's he going to get out? Oh, he turned sideways and went through the doors. And it was like 3 pages and you're sitting here going,
Yeah.
Well, I know he's not going to crash and die at the beginning of the book.
How many pages he just sitting there at the same time just talking to BB-8?
Yeah.
And it just goes on.
Yeah. It was not super...
It had a cool... backup thing of the little cartoony looking
one. Oh yeah,
I always like the cartoon one. You don't like cartoons, so.
me.
No,
Colin.
But you are a cartoon. We saw him on Facebook. He put the picture up there.
Yeah, that was you.
Yeah, he was working hard that day.
He was angry.
It's called a Tuesday.
Oh no.
But yeah, just the basic idea behind Poe Dameron was it was leading up. He's looking for the guy who he's talking to at the beginning of Force Awakens.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all leading up. He's trying to track him down. And of course, you know, they get followed by the First Order finds him and stuff. It's
basically there's a big egg. There's a big egg in it too.
Yeah.
It's basically the prelude of how he gets the information to go visit that guy at the beginning.
Yeah, they find
out. Like, did we really need to know? Was anybody watching the movie and they were just like, I wonder what he was doing before this? Like, nobody ever said that.
Yeah.
They just moved on.
You sell a lot more zombie tramp than I would have guessed.
Well, I have two guys that get every cover. So take that into consideration and then look at the numbers again.
Of all the Star Wars books, this has been so far the worst. I just thought it was boring. A really boring book.
I didn't think it was that bad, but yeah, it wasn't the
strong. I just didn't think it was necessary. It just, you know, if you had a story about this character that, like, but to have a, what happened to this guy before The Force Awakens, it's just like, I just assumed he took the plans, he went got the flash drive from the guy or whatever, and then we saw the movie, so it didn't make any difference, but... Like, if they had more about this guy's history, maybe, because they didn't really play him off that much in the movie, either.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. And half the movie...
Well, he still has his cool jacket, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's... it made an appearance, but... No, it just... At least the other stories have had something, like, new written about him. This was just, like... It's just... Well, you know what? I'll take that back. It was probably the worst, because the worst was that journey into the Force Awakens.
Which was also technically about him.
Yeah.
Because it was his parents.
So it just... It's just boring.
Hopefully the C-3PO is better.
The Red Arm today. Chronicles?
The Red Arm Chronicles.
Red Arm Diaries.
And I'll mention Archie number 7.
Yep.
Mark Waid, Veronica Fish. I like the issue.
Yeah, I did too.
It was good. In the previous issue, Reggie told Mr. Lodge that Archie, you know, destroyed the mansion when they were building it.
And for some reason, he believes him straight up.
What's that?
Somehow, he just believes him for some reason. He's just like, oh, okay,
Reggie's very trustworthy.
Yeah, Reggie's a very trustworthy individual, but...
Reggie's trying to worm himself into the Lodge's life.
He becomes like a consultant for Mr. Lodge. Basically, his job is to keep track of what Archie's up to.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
So Archie is trying to get some dirt.
Mr. Lodge is a good businessman. He knows what he's doing.
Okay. So Archie tries to get some dirt on Reggie and from Pop at the chocolate shop, but Pop won't say anything.
Well, Pop...
Because of the sacred trust between...
Malt shop owner
and customer.
It was funny.
Malt shoppy.
Yeah. But he hints to him. He gives him a little bit of a hint.
Yeah, but then Archie, you know, like that, he gets a job at the Riverdale
Gazette.
And here's Reggie's dad is
the publisher.
And here's him on the phone that Reggie has some kind of, I guess, criminal record. They just say record.
Yeah.
That someone got expunged for him. So maybe that'll be a...
Well, the other... I wish they knew how kind of like stuff worked, though, with technology. Not only technology with computers, but when writing this book, but how a newspaper works. Because, like, they were making a lot of it during the day. And they were putting the paper out, printing it. And it's just like, well, the news hasn't happened for the day yet, so how did he print in the news? But
stop the presses.
Yeah, it was just they were all set. Plus, Archie, he got fired the first day because he can't work there. But his whole thing was he plugged his phone into charge on a computer. And somehow that uploaded directly to the newspaper and printed onto it. So his picture of a selfie that he took said that the governor was coming or something. And it was Archie's face on the picture, so they fired him. But however that works, or you plug in the charger phone and it automatically posts the
I would have fired the threats. IT people.
Like, yeah, that's a problem. It's a good book. It really is. And like I said before, with the Jughead book, they had put a little backup story in the back.
My favorite thing.
I didn't get to fully read the backup, but I read the before part. Where and I love how he... The writer chooses, and this is, what's his name, Chip?
Mark Wade.
That's right, this one's Mark Wade, that one is, yeah. And how he explains why he chose this issue to explain this. And I like that, it's just, it's a nice little add-on.
It was very interesting, the fun fact was that the artist of that, of the backup story, is from Archie number 18, 1943.
Yeah.
Bill Vigoda, who is the brother of Abe Vigoda.
Really? Yeah. Fish?
Yes. A fish, yes.
Nice.
And what's the current one being drawn by?
Veronica Fish.
Veronica Fish.
Bum, bum, bum. The conspiracy, you're saying, Colin?
Mm-hmm.
The Illuminati?
Mm-hmm. All comes around and goes around.
Oh. Boom. You just blew Dave's
mind. I know. That's my job.
Archie's fun. I like it. Like, I read Jughead. Jughead's not my favorite of these books. Archie is, because I think Archie is just really well... It's a lot... I don't know. It just seems a little bigger of a story, where these... This is not as big. Yeah. It's kind of more cartoony, but this has a little larger of a something going on.
A little more emotional depth, maybe.
Yeah. It's not going to be dark, like...
No.
I was going to say Afterlife with Archie, but really this Archie TV show that they're going to have, which is supposedly...
Yeah.
Supposed to be awful. But,
And I'll mention quickly Back to the Future number 6, which is the first issue of, now it's an ongoing.
Right.
So this is what happens after Back to the Future part 3.
Okay. That I never saw. What? Never?
What?
Wow.
Never? What is wrong with you, Colin?
Sorry.
That's okay.
So that's why he didn't get the whole train joke and all that from before.
Well, it doesn't. Well,
just went right over you.
Yeah, say this is like 8 months after Doc goes in the future, or goes away in the train, and
Archie's in this
Archie,
one too.
Archie Marty. Archie's,
he's all over.
Marty is very. Marty's very depressed. Marty's very depressed because Doc is gone.
Oh.
He's not going to have any more adventures.
He starts drinking. Like.
He starts drinking. Living in
somebody called him a chicken.
Living in Slum Alley.
So, and wouldn't that be awful if that was the case? Though, like, Doc goes and tries to fix his past so it doesn't screw up his life, and then leaving screws up.
So
his
Marty's
life.
All depressed, and then one day at school, he gets a Western Union letter from Clara. That tells him that Doc has disappeared into the future and she needs Marty's help to save him.
How would she know where to deliver it?
That's a good question. Unless he left a lot of information behind.
Like, did she see his driver's license?
Maybe Doc told her. I don't know where he went to school.
Hey, here's the deal. I'm going off for an adventure in the future. If anything happens to me...
Send the Western Union into the future. It'll take a little while.
You'll be dead by then.
So they're trying. So Martin and Jennifer are trying to figure out what to do, and they find Doc's.
Yeah, what are they gonna do?
Well, they find Doc's other workshop. Well,
first thing they gotta figure out which Jennifer is it.
They find his secret workshop, his second workshop, which is a secret where he built the DeLorean away from Marty's prying eyes. And I'm gonna try to sell a book because something crazy happens at the end of the book. That
something
that sets the story in motion.
Huh.
Well, okay.
Now we have to pick it up because Dave won't tell us what happened.
I'm not telling you.
Such a tease, Dave.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna try to sell some soap here.
Or sell some soap here. This place would smell better. Oh,
no. Dun.
That's it. That's it for me, Pat.
Okay. First one, Sheriff of Babylon, which I think I'm the only one still reading that, or the only one that has
really
read like it.
But I really want to pick it up in trade because I hear it's absolutely incredible.
That's what I read. It is. It's a really good book. In this one, this is kind of a smaller issue. In the last issue, Nasir and his wife had gone on to the base. And had stayed there because it's not really ISIS, but it's the insurgents had captured Nasir, and he was able to escape. In this issue, Christopher, 90% of the issue is Christopher drinking and talking with Nasir's wife, which, you know, Muslims can't drink, so that's kind of, you know, a no-no. So, you know, they got to be secretive about it. But you know, they basically just sit there and talk about, you know, some of it's about 9/11, some of it's about Saddam and kind of like the larger repercussions of all these events. And like, apparently, one of the things that Christopher brings up is before he was this contractor, he was a cop, I think in San Diego. And he actually had met one of the 9/11 terrorists prior to it happening. There was a call because he was causing a disturbance, and he let the guy off with a warning. And it's like, you know, had I not done that, but, you know, how would things change? So it was kind of interesting, you know, just their interaction. It's a really good book. This issue was different from others. Like I said, it was very small. But you got background on characters, which is pretty cool. Walking Dead. Colin, are you still reading that, or are you behind?
I flipped through. I haven't read the last couple.
Okay.
I know what happened at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you did.
Yeah, Negan does what Negan does. And that was
expected.
Yeah, that whole thing was kind of telegraphed, like from the first. Yeah, I mean, he is who he is.
What happened? What did he do?
He took a knife and went all stabby stab. And that's the thing; he's killed way more people with a knife than he has with Lucille. But Lucille's his signature weapon.
Lucille,
did he kill someone big?
No, it was the kid that let him out.
Both of his parents are dead.
Right. His mother was killed by the Whisperers, yeah. And then Rick killed his father because he was trying to
kill Rick.
Yeah, he tried to kill Rick. And it looks like, you know, his plan was to get them to fight each other and everybody died.
And this is the same kid who beat
Carl
the Brick.
Yeah,
at the beginning of this arc.
Arc, yeah.
The fat kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Negan dispatches him and kind of goes from there. And then the other part of the book is dealing with Dwight and his group.
Yeah.
They're kind of out there still training. And, you know, someone brings up the fact that he still has Lucille. And he said, well, you know, I don't want to leave it back there with the Saviors because he's left the Saviors.
He doesn't want it to be looked at as like kind of the scepter for the saviors, and you know, he wants to change its legacy from what it was to something good.
Yeah, the other thing that was happening, it's just a small thing, was Dale. Is that his name? No, not Dale. What's the guy that makes the bullets? Eugene. Eugene was is still talking to that guy on the radio.
Yeah.
I think this is the most interesting thing that's happening so far, because they made like contact with some other group through a radio, and that both of them are only giving them enough information until they feel comfortable. And yeah. I think it leads to maybe an interesting future story, hopefully, but we'll see. But
yeah,
it's picking up.
Yeah,
a little bit.
It is.
It's a tiny bit.
Hey,
smidgen.
It was kind of funny because, like, you know, watching Fear the Walking Dead, the season premiere, yeah. The one girl was on the radio and she was giving away all kinds of details. And it's like, you.
This is my social security. This is.
Well, no, she's like, we're on a yacht. It has desalinization. Here's where we are. And
they're like, that's what we need.
Well, no, that's exactly what you. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. I mean.
The guy on the other side is like, do you see that smoke plume? Where are you in relation to that? Oh, we're south of it.
I'll see you soon. Okay.
There's some pirates, people.
Yep. Green Lantern.
That's the one I don't think I read. I thought I bought it, but...
Well, you remember at the end of the last issue, Hal kind of became a construct.
Yeah.
He rematerializes eventually, but he didn't remember what happened while he was a construct. And then he wanted to go off and try to find... whatever's left of the core to see if maybe someone there can help him. But he said, you know, I have something else to do first. In the meantime, Darlene, which was the ship, got attacked by these gray agents. They somehow access like the, kind of like the captain's log. So they knew that Jordan was on his way back to Earth. So they're like, okay, well, we'll go to Earth to go get him. And then right as that happened, he busts through the hull of the ship and is like, oh, well, I'm already here. And that's where it ends.
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, welcome to Earth. It was an okay issue, but just okay. I mean, this is one where I'd like to see kind of the rebirth. I'd like to see it getting back to more Green Lantern type stuff. I really love John's run from
Less
the very
Lorenzo
beginning.
Lamas.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Last one I want to talk about is Wonder Woman Earth 1.
I read that.
I liked it.
I liked it too. I was really worried about the art because, and I know we disagree on this, I hate that cover art.
Yeah.
It didn't
bother me.
I'm not a fan of that drawing of Wonder Woman. I feel like that borders too much on the, you know, just like cheesecake art. And also, like his Art of War statue was similar, like, based on similar art. And I wasn't a fan of it. Normally, I'm a huge fan of Yannick Paquette, though. So I was very pleasantly surprised to open a book up and see that the interiors were gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And like that outfit that she's wearing in the front cover, we only see for a couple.
Yeah. I mean, it's like five panels or something like that.
It's just my problem. Like it almost seemed like awkwardly like cut in the bottom. Like
I,
it was,
I understand what you're saying.
It was my problem with the character has always been like, you know, that she's just running around in a swimsuit. This, it almost felt like she's running around in even less than a swimsuit for a few pages. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm not
less than a swimsuit.
Yeah, like she got her outfit from, you know, Victoria's Secret. Mm. I don't know, I'm not a fan.
Frederick's the Themyscira.
Some people are a fan of that, like the you know, like pinup art like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, well, it doesn't seem.
That's not why I read a comic book, and it's not, I'm not a fan of it.
I don't want to feel like a...
You don't shop from the back of the previous catalog.
I don't want to feel like a perv because I'm reading a comic book someplace, you know, in public. So, but yeah, the most of their art was fine.
What did you think of Grant Morrison's storytelling?
His storytelling was great, real quick with the art, one other thing I want to say is we saw this on Swamp Thing, and we're seeing it here as well. Yannick Paquette's page layouts and the way it is panels, it's absolutely incredible. Like, the way he breaks things up and the way he almost directs,
like clockwork.
Yeah, the way he directs the reading.
With the lasso, kind of uses the border in a lot of it.
That was Swamp Thing we were talking about. And I was like, how he did the...
If you remember, like, the Scott Snyder, Yannick Paquette Swamp Thing, like, the way he broke it up with the... like foliage and branches and everything. He does the same thing here with the lasso and with like pictures of, you know, Greek mythology and whatnot. It was really a beautiful looking book inside.
Story wise, it's a different origin for Wonder Woman.
That's what he said he was going to do with it when he was talking about it, but that's been a long time ago.
It wasn't a bad origin. It makes a lot of sense for the most part. You know, certainly not what we know in the pre-New 52 or even in the New 52.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it since it's a trade, so people may, you know, not have read it yet.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say what it is, but it's very different.
Yeah, the premise is that she violates their laws by engaging with the world of man and ends up being put on trial as a result of it. And it's a trial by truth, so they're using the lasso of truth to, you know, for everyone it's a witness or speaking during the trial.
It's really a reason to call it a trial, though, if you're just going to put the lasso of truth on it.
Well, they're still like, coming to,
we're not gonna judge
they're coming to a judgment at the end.
Yeah. Because of her truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, that's something that I didn't know, and again, I don't want to give away too much, but the three judges were
They weren't judges. They were just kind of like writing her fate and recounting her fate through the parole process.
Since I don't read Wonder Woman, are those normal characters?
Not that I'm aware of.
The Greek mythology characters, the Fates.
I haven't read much Wonder Woman. The only Wonder Woman that I really read was the Azrael Cliff Chang. Prior to that, I kind of wasn't
very interested
in the character. And then David and Meredith Finch
politely
returned me to that form after Azrael and Chang's run. But hopefully, you know, Rucka and company can turn that around. But yeah, I'm not familiar with those characters at all.
Because I kind of didn't understand what their deal was. At first when I saw them, I thought that, you know, they were not there. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of like watching this in a witch's brew type deal.
Yeah.
And then at the end I said, well, no, they were there the whole time. Or if maybe she's the only one that could see them, perhaps.
Yeah. I don't remember those characters, man.
This book does harken back to older days of Wonder Woman, where like a lot of like feminist
overtones to it.
But it worked. I mean, it wasn't.
Well,
it didn't feel out of place or anything.
The thing that you mentioned, there's a lot of fat jokes in it.
It gets to one point where Wonder Woman encounters this bus of sorority girls. And at that point, there's one girl who becomes character, an important character for the story. And I don't know, she was depicted almost like a caricature. A lot of like cheap jokes it took me out of the story a bit because it was so.
Do you know what
out
she,
of place?
And I hate to even say this because I know it was not intentional, I hope it was not intentional. Divine from Pink Flamingos.
See, I felt
that's what came to mind, and I know that was not the intention, but almost that was how
I felt like they were going for the girl from Pitch Perfect.
Oh, what's her face? I know who you're
Rebel
talking about.
Wilson.
Rebel Wilson. Yeah.
That's who I felt like they were channeling.
Yeah, it seemed like her character. Yeah,
seemed like her character is very much like, you know, the Fat Amy character from.
Okay, Pitch Perfect. I could see that. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there was lesbian overtones and
yeah, the entire island, Paradise Island, it's lesbians. Like there was, you know, at one point Wonder Woman goes against the champion of the Amazons,
who's
her lover. They're meant to be together. But the book starts off with a brutal interaction between Hercules and the Amazons.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is what causes them to break off from the Word of Man in the first place, because, you know, he's there just towering over the Amazons with this lion's head as a helmet and just a loincloth. Looks like he's about to, you know, rape.
Yeah. But the only other Wonder Woman kind of book that I've read was the Gods and Man or whatever.
Gods and Men, yeah.
Which, you know, it's Ares kind of takes that role. And that seems to make more sense to me than Hercules. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess, you know, they can't reuse what they already did, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I get why, you know, Ares being the god of war will never be able to escape this. Let's leave the world of men. That makes more sense than this is one guy who's a douche.
Yeah.
But that...
Well, I think they just said, this is what the world of men is like, and we can make a paradise for ourselves elsewhere. But no, it was quite good. I was surprised how much I liked it. It's just that, just the sorority girl part that kind of, you know, threw me off, and I wasn't really enjoying a whole lot. But other than that part, and it really doesn't pop up until the last quarter of the book, I would say. So it's not like it's in there, you know, for the entire thing. But yeah, it was a really good, really another great Earth One book.
Next one is Teen Titans Volume 2. That comes out in August.
Who's writing it?
It's in this month.
Lemire.
Yeah, I think it's Lemire.
I wonder if he wrote it before he went to Marvel then.
Maybe.
I can't see Marvel agreeing to let him do something this long. Because he did sign exclusive with Marvel, didn't he?
I don't know.
The rumors were that he did, because he was at the retreats and whatnot.
Right. I don't know.
I'm very excited about that, because I loved his volume one of that.
Yeah. Adam?
Right here. Jeff Lemire. Andy McDonald. Yeah. Brad Anderson.
Definitely. Because the first one was Dodson.
Yeah, which, that was nice. You don't like it?
I didn't see much of it. I just, the action figures, I wasn't a big fan of.
The Cyborg one with the kid in play hair was really weird.
Yeah.
I didn't so much mind Beast Boy, though.
Yeah, they look very different in this, on this cover here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Raven, or no, it was Starfire that was in the white, kind of weird,
like,
get-up.
The, like, cloths and robes.
Yeah. Now she's in cuffs. So.
My turn. Old Man Logan, number 4. This book's gotten a little more interesting. The first issue was a good introduction. The second issue, I didn't really care for too much, because it just wasn't going in a good direction then, but by third issue it was a lot better. This issue dealt more with Captain America catches up to him, and he's still old Captain America, and he wants to know basically what he's doing and why he's doing this, and trying to figure out more about him. So he takes him to Canada. And he takes him to where Wolverine was born. And when he gets there, there's like a shed or a barn. And they take an elevator down to the bottom of it. And when he gets there, he sees the a tomb, which is basically, it's Wolverine. It's the adamantium-covered Wolverine.
Okay.
And he's just like, do you remember this? And he's just like, no, I've never died like before. Okay. So I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, okay, so they're putting out there that he isn't from this world at all.
Okay.
And I think they're doing it a lot better than they're probably doing something with Spider-Gwen, where she's just jumping all over the place. But he tells him, you know, why are you doing all this stuff? And, you know, trying to explain to him his future is this. There's some good moments in it, like when they have him tied up and Hawkeye's with him. Not Clint Barton, but the other one. And
Kate Bishop.
And he tells, they tie Wolverine up to a tree after bringing him, when they bring him to Canada. And he tells Cap that he's like, he tells him, you know, can I trust you? And he's like, yeah, whatever. And Kate Bishop looks at him and says, wow, you're just going to let him go that easy. And he's like, Logan might be a lot of things, but he's a man of his word or something. And Logan turns on him and says, you know, no. And he starts fighting with him again. And he's just like, well, this isn't obviously the Wolverine that we know because of that. Wolverine, you know, he tells him, you know, you can't do this or anything. Wolverine agrees, but he lied to him basically. And he goes on to his, you know, his adventure. And a Sentinel stops him, jumps up in front of him. And I guess there's an X-Men now that a Sentinel is part of their team now?
Yeah.
And something?
Yeah, it's Danger Room. No, it's Cerebro.
Okay. Shows up. He stabs, thinking it's a real Sentinel. And Storm and Iceman talk to him, and they're surprised that he's alive and stuff like that. So now they're going a little bit into the
X-Men. He's on their team, so maybe
it hasn't happened. Okay. Yet. So I think this is when it's happening. Like, okay. This is when it gets to that team. It hasn't been bad. Like, I like how they're making it that he isn't from the past. He's from another Earth, and somehow he just ended up here.
He's from the future. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a future that's never happened and might not ever happen. But Wolverine or Logan is going around thinking it's going to happen, so he has to stop it. Not bad. I mean, it hasn't been as bad these last few issues. I've really liked. So, Spider-Man 3. This is the Miles Morales book. Starts off like any other Spider-Man book. He's his grandma's mad at him for failing in class.
Did he eat wheat cakes?
No, this grandma will not make wheat cakes. Yeah, okay. But she's yelling at him. Thinks he's on drugs. Takes away his phone. Now the Avengers can't get a hold of him. And you know, it's a lot of teen drama. You know, a lot more than even Archie has. Yeah.
So he went to the chocolate shop.
Yeah, he went to the malt shop. They know, but. He's basically, they're keeping a better eye on him. His father, who, I guess in this, I haven't read previous Ultimate Spider-Man, so I guess his father knows he's Spider-Man. His father gets really irritated at the grandmother and just decides that he needs to step out, because the grandmother starts insulting his dead brother, who was Prowler in the Ultimate Universe. And saying that Miles was going to become like him, dead, and, you know, and a criminal and this and that. He, you know, didn't go over really well. Ms. Marvel shows up, and I have not read much with Ms. Marvel in it. She shows up because I guess there was a call and he didn't show up, so she went to go check on him. And she told him, well, you better just stay because, you know, you're grounded and whatnot. And then she leaves. So she didn't really have a big part for the cover, who had her, like, there and in suit and everything. And then Miles goes to school. Teacher is talking to them at school about, you know, if they can, if they all know what an inhuman or a mutant is. And, she's just asking, you know, how this is. And, you know, people start answering. They're like, well, we have good news. We have a student who's joining us who is a mutant. And, it's everybody's favorite mutant, especially Pat's. It's Pat's favorite mutant.
Gold Balls.
It's Gold Balls.
All right.
So Gold Balls is joining the cast of the Spider-Man book. And, you know, he will. He'll most likely, and the way Bendis usually does this, I have a feeling that he's going to become like one of the friends in this group, like they were doing with Ultimate Spider-Man originally.
If he could write a Gold Balls ongoing, I'm sure he would
do it. So yeah, Gold Balls, and Miles' friend is really excited because Gold Balls is his favorite mutant. So that's Spider-Man with Miles Morales. My whole problem with this book, and like, it's not badly written. It's just there's nothing going on. And, you know, first of all, you have to convince...
Balls.
Yeah, exactly.
Who doesn't
the
like
thing about balls? The thing about this Spider-Man book, you're bringing Spider-Man into this world that already has a Spider-Man. And you're not... You know, you're not making a very good point of why does there have to be two Spider-Men? You know, why? You know, does nobody find this odd? And it's not very
exciting.
Captain
America.
You know, in 3 issues, it's about his grandmother yelling at him. You know, okay, that's nice. Why
did I on Blackheart, man?
Oh, he did.
Single-handedly.
Yeah, he did. It was things. And that somehow worked without any explanation of why. So, and then, oh, there's a Black Cat story going on in between here because they just... won't stop with that story, even though they stop and it disappears for a while, but then
so they do stop with the story
somewhere. Well, it continues somewhere else later on down the road, and it's supposedly the same story, but I don't know. It's just, it's very disorganized, not a lot of action to it, not a lot of story to it. Just a lot of, you know, regular drama. It's a lot of what Stan Lee would say, how Stan Lee was making, I think it was Stan Lee who said that, where it was mainly, it's a lot to do with Peter Parker, less to do with Spider-Man. Well, in this case, wow, they're really, you know, doing that. It's a lot of Miles Morales and hardly any of Spider-Man, so they might as well just call it Miles. But
and they think, yeah, it's a book about running, and who wants to read that?
Yes.
It's a Forrest Gump book.
I'd rather read a Forrest Gump
book. I was thinking like a jazz book.
Yeah, I'd read that. Yeah.
Maybe it'll turn into like Spider-Man and his new amazing friends.
It's
that'd be awesome. Gold balls.
There's Marvel. There's Marvel is on it. So. And but yeah, Batman Beyond number 11. You read this, Josh?
I did. Don't tell me what I read.
You read this.
Wow.
That's a signal.
They're playing baseball.
Yeah.
Adam's playing with gold balls. So.
Anyways. This is your
favorite kind.
This issue wasn't bad. It wasn't my favorite so far.
It wasn't. It kind of dipped a little bit from how recent issues have been.
Well, I thought they were going somewhere with this Justice League thing, and then it kind of fizzled out, this issue.
Yeah.
It just kind of worked out in their favor, like the one.
It wrapped up so quickly and neatly.
Yeah. Well, the tiger guy, I forget his name, but he took the thing from the splicer, the head of the splicer thing, and he broke the remote, and that changed everything and made everybody back to normal.
Yeah.
It was just like, well, that was convenient. Like, that's all he had to do. And
especially since, like, he looked like he was with the splicer dude.
Yeah. And that switched over, and he was just like, I don't care. I just don't like it. He didn't like his plan. He didn't want to be good, but he didn't like his plan or what he was doing. So, a lot is still happening in Gotham where they're, you know, people are trying to steal the food, but it was up to Superman when they finally got him free to come in and kind of talk everybody down. And I guess that worked, right? Because they kind of. Did they disperse by the end of it? Because they were just like, good job, Superman. And you didn't really see anything.
I think
happen.
It did. Yeah. And it was not Clark Kent Superman.
Yes. It was actually Jonathan, which is the kid from Lois and the Lois and Clark book.
Yeah.
Which was interesting, but it was just like, well, where was he during this whole Futures End thing, you know?
Frozen.
I guess, if they existed. And the whole Justice League thing showing up is a little confusing through this whole, because there was a Justice League when all of them were assimilated by robots. Like, that didn't. You know, for one of them to exist,
keep in mind
Hot Girl
that
and, had to exist.
Something's got wiped out from the timeline.
Yeah,
from the end of Future's End, something stayed. It's it's confusing
just
to what actually occurred and what didn't know.
Yeah, and but all in all, it really has been like a decent.
It definitely picked itself back up after the Brother Eye stuff.
Yeah, the Brother Eye,
which
stuff
is impressive. Yeah, even, I mean, this issue wasn't bad. It just kind of, there was a lot of build-up, and the resolution was very, you know, quick and easy, which, just left you wanting a bit more.
Yeah.
But so. still enjoyable.
I'm just curious how this book's going to transition into the other book, how that's going to work. But
I don't know, if you look
at I'm going to continue. I think this book I'm going to keep on, because I kind of like the character of Batman Beyond and stuff like that.
So the previews, I mean, initially I thought that McGinnis was going to be back as Batman Beyond. But the previews here are saying, like, who is Batman Beyond? And, like, doing a checklist of, you know, what are the odds of being Tim Drake of Terry McGinnis, Bruce Wayne, and like, yeah. So they're playing up this whole idea that it
Well, I thought they said it was going to be Terry McGinnis.
No, they're playing up this idea of it's
that
you know,
is
kind
what
of
they
hidden.
Said during that. That's what I thought. They, they said Terry McGinnis is back. And that's what they're
well, saying. He might be back, but I mean, he's not Batman.
Okay, yeah, that's true. So we'll see. I kind of like the. It's not a huge redesign of the costume, but they showed it in the previews that you gave away today. That had kind of a. It looked kind of neat with the red eyes, really prominent red eyes, and the shoes that had the red at the bottom. Not all just black. But yeah, but that's Batman Beyond. It's good. It just that issue kind of just fizzled out for me. It just didn't. It led up to a lot and didn't kind of.
Yeah, I don't like the red shoes.
The shoes look like he's wearing sneakers.
That's what
I
don't like.
I like the eyes, but yeah, the shoes look like he's wearing a pair.
Yeah, the red belt, red eyes, everything else is fine, but yeah. No.
Like, I'm wearing the sneakers right now. They're red.
You are not as cool as Batman Beyond.
I wish.
He's not even cool as Max.
Max saved the Justice League or whatever. Actually didn't do much. He just let him there, I guess. But that's what I read.
Okay.
I met Max, the girl that
hacker
friend.
I kept thinking it was the... What's the... Math is the brother. Max is cool.
I met Max, the dog. From the Grinch. You're not even there. We put an antler on your head, you fall over too.
Oh.
This is mean.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we have... there's two sales still going on. We got the dollar books up. Hopefully, if the weather cooperates, we'll get some more up and outside, a little sidewalk sale as soon as it stops snowing or raining or whatever it feels like doing.
Tornado.
Hopefully no tornadoes.
Yeah, really.
So, anybody else have anything else they want to chime in on?
Yeah. What's coming out next week, huh?
Thanks,
yeah.
Pat.
Is that what you were writing
on? Kinda. Huh. Just would have felt rude to, you know, just... jump in there.
You were kind of talking anyway, so you could have just done.
Yeah, I could have. But we have four kids walk into a bank, number one. This is the new one, Black Mask, Matthew Rosenberg.
I thought that was the beginning of a joke.
I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's kind of how it's supposed to be, but first issue is really good. Action Comics is the next part of Super League. Action Verse number two, number one came out this week from my friends at Action Lab. Aloha Hawaiian Dick, which was referred to as a tiki noir book.
I was thinking something else.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Polynesian.
Black Eyed Kids number one. This
Everyone
is another
else.
One from You're Afterburn. Afraid. Another one of the $1.99 books. Looks creepy and moody. Interesting. Bloodshot Reborn number 12. Captain America Road to War, which is Captain America back, and it looks basically like his team from the book. It's like it's got Black Widow and Scarlet Witch and Falcon. It looks very much like a tie-in to the movie type
Ant-Man.
Of thing, rather than a Marvel or Universe book. Captain America Sam Wilson, number eight, part of the standoff, but also it's the first issue after he comes back. Chew Demon Chicken Pollo, which is a spinoff, a one-shot from Chew. Criminal 10th Anniversary Special, both in the regular and the magazine-sized versions. Dark Souls number one, which I'm guessing is a game only because it says game cover and then
Sounds
concept
like
art cover, but yeah, that one's from Titan. Department H, which is a new one from Matt Kent about this underwater, I guess like station, and it's, I guess it's like a murder mystery type of thing down there, huh. But it's just funny, it's Department H and it's underwater, so if you put the H next to it, it's actually depth, so. Being clever. Deadpool Merch for the Money number three. I know that's your favorite, Pat. Three of five,
good.
Even though it's going into an ongoing.
It's going ongoing.
Yeah. Divinity 2 number one coming out.
Very excited for that.
Elseworlds Batman trade paperback number one.
Putin is a bad guy in that too.
Amazing. He was a bad guy in Badger.
Yeah, Badger, yeah.
Craziness.
Remember I said that there was another book I couldn't think of what it was.
Yeah. So the Elseworlds one, I think it has the Vampire Batman and some others. So it's a big one. It's a $35 DC trade, which has to be massive. Extraordinary X-Men number one. So it's the next part of that, the Apocalypse War story there.
More gold balls.
No, not in this one. Haunted Mansion number two. Number one sold out, like, hugely, and I thought I'd ordered a lot.
Huck number 6. James Bond number 6. That one is selling like crazy. Really, really. I mean, here's one. I'm 21 copies. So that's really good for one of the smaller publishers.
I think they said
Huck is doing well. Huck is 30 copies. So
I think they said Warren Ellis is staying on that.
They did. Yeah, I did. Yeah, for another arc. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joyride. Yeah, it's a boom. Karnak number 3. It's like, wow, this isn't 4 months after the last issue. Legends of Tomorrow number 2, which has made me happy. I had to reorder number 1. I had sold through all my copies, and that was a pretty good number. And that one was really good. Maybe people listened to us, because I thought number 1 on that was very, very good. You didn't like it?
No, they don't listen to us.
Mad Balls, number 1. So Adam is going to be getting that.
Mad Balls?
Yeah, Mad Balls.
He likes gold balls, not balls.
Damn. Okay. Shoot, I ordered too many of them.
I wonder, like Mad Balls, like when we were kids? Uh-huh. That's a comic?
Seriously.
There was a Marvel comic, like a kid's comic. They did a Mad Balls comic back in the 80s.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
New Avengers, number 10, another standoff crossover. Obi-Wan and Anakin, number 4.
That's been good.
Turncoat, number 2. Pat. I like that first one. I thought that was good. Power Man and Iron Fist number 3. Puss in Boots number 1, Adam.
Oh.
I know you're a big Shrek fan. Silk number 7 is the next part of the Spider-Woman crossover. Spider-Man Deadpool number 4. Star Trek Manifest Destiny number 1, which has a fun thing where it has a Klingon edition variant that is all in
Klingon
language.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The entire book.
It has
the entire
book. It's not a Klingon elf.
Whoa. Yeah. So that was a tough one to figure out how to order.
There are people out there that can read it.
I know, but sadly, I had asked.
The thing about the problem he had with the Deadpool Spanish variant.
Yeah. Two, I'm really looking forward to Superman American Alien number 6 and Superman Lois and Clark number 7. Definitely looks like Superman Lois and Clark is going to be a more important book than anybody thought going into Rebirth. Titans Hunt number 7 also is going to sound
important. That also is going to be important, yeah.
Yeah. Tokyo Ghost number 6. And then Exo Manowar number 46.
It's back. I didn't know that was coming.
I saw that's only 10 issues.
Yeah.
That was the intent from the get-go. But okay. They may make it ongoing.
It's good. It's a really good book.
Yeah. It's not true. Yeah. But like I said, if you took into account...
5-2.
Take those out. Oh, sweet. My Blackhawks are still 0-0, so they're going to try to give me a heart attack the first game. Yeah, let's go to overtime.
So, Colin.
Yes.
So, like, where can they find you?
Wow.
that was weird.
Sorry, weird. That was a little creepy.
Where can they find you?
Where?
Please don't look me up in the phone book and stalk my house.
That's what they're going to do.
No, you can find me at the store or PittsburghComics.com.
That's easy. Yeah.
PittsburghComics.com, curated by Josh. Because he's the webmaster.
Are you buttering me up to post that for you?
Yeah, he's
no, no. I'm buttering you up so you don't get mad because you were saying before you were getting mad. Don't take my site down.
That's how he tells people. So.
Twitter, it's @PGHComics. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram is also @PGHComics.
That's where you leave not a lot selfies. There.
No, that's where I put pictures of cool books that come in
and selfies.
And no selfies.
Check out but iTunes, you will find rate us.
Yes, yeah, that'd be awesome if we could get a rating.
It's so desperate.
We have 10 ratings.
Do we have 10?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. I hadn't looked in a while.
Oh, my God.
Well, I know it's 10 because a friend of mine's in town from California, and we were at the dinner last night, and we were talking about podcasts, and I was like, oh, yeah, I actually, do a weekly podcast. And he immediately looked it up. He's like, you guys have 10 five-star ratings. It's like, yeah, they're pretty old, but yeah, we have them.
But hey,
is that from the original cast or something?
I don't know. But yeah, so if you do listen, please rate us. I don't. That does all sorts of wonderful things. Puts lots of cash in my pocket.
Well, it lets us know if we're doing bad or just mediocre or
horrible.
And send questions.
But it also helps get the visibility of the podcast out there.
I bet we'll get some Rebirth questions next week because people get these at their store. Hopefully they get these at the store. I ordered in what could be referred to as a boatload of these Rebirth. So if you want one, please come in. I have plenty still, and I'm a little scared. I actually have to talk to my rep because I got in 300 this week, and then I'm showing I'm getting another 300 next week, which is great, except it's about $100 to ship them. So, I know that sounds great and all, but...
That's not great at all.
Not really. So yeah, I do have plenty if you're interested. There is a special deal going on. I have a package deal going for the full month of June, all the Rebirth books. Normally it'd be $60. If you buy, get the whole package, it's only $50. Also, if you pre-order any of the Rebirth books, I'm going to give you the 80-page Rebirth, DC Universe Rebirth number one special for free.
What? That book's like $3. You're giving it to us for free?
I'm going
to
give it to you for free. Also,
he's the kind of guy he is.
I'm only going to make this known on the podcast, so if you're listening on the podcast, if you show up for the midnight release party on...
May 25th.
May 25th. Thank you, Pat. I realized I didn't have the little postcard in there. Anybody that shows up...
Midnight, May 25th?
Oh. It should be midnight, yeah. If you come here at 11:59 on Tuesday, at 12 o'clock you will open the door, so it would be technically Wednesday.
Right.
But is the 25th the Tuesday or the Wednesday?
I don't know.
I think it's the Wednesday.
You'll be able to figure it out. It's the Tuesday.
Just show up the Tuesday evening.
Yes, that Tuesday night. Jeez, why make it hard? It's a Tuesday.
I was trying to clarify it.
I didn't look at my calendar. But if you come to the midnight release... the DC books will be available, so it's...
So the night of the 24th.
Right.
Yes.
The eve of the 25th.
Right. I get what you're saying, but it's the Tuesday night.
I mean, some people aren't getting the alphabet sale right, Colin, let alone...
So DC is... DC is
good point, good point. Yeah,
people are going to be here on Sunday.
It's the 24th, right?
We'll be here doing the podcast on the 25th, suddenly people will come walking through the door.
Is it all week?
But you can buy all the DC books, which is including Rebirth, and I think it's Justice League 50, which is that really important Joker reveal book. Yeah. I think it was Superman 52, and there was... Dark Knight, the John Romita issue.
It's the one with the Joker.
Yeah. I forget the name of it. But those are available. Marvel has jumped on the bandwagon and is going to make all of their books for sale also. And at this point, since all of Marvel and all of DC are going to be available, everything that's available Wednesday is going to be available. I don't see any reason to hold back Titan and Boom. So we'll be open early. We'll be closing probably about 1. I'll stay open a little while, but I'm not staying open all night.
Party pooper.
Yeah.
No. If you pre-order any of the Rebirth titles, even if it's just a case of I'm going to keep getting Batman that I'm already getting... I'm going to give you a Rebirth for free, but I will also, anybody that shows up at the midnight release will be getting a copy of Rebirth for free. So, yeehaw! But I'm not making that super public just yet, so I want people to order it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you show up at midnight, hey, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But, so, that's that.
That's podcast. Awesome.
I think that's everything. That's you were a little early.
Paused.
On that. I
paused.
But
for a while.
But he looked at me, not you.
Yeah, that's right.
Usually he does, and he's just like, "Oh, what are we doing?" That's podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.